There is no better place.
It's time to talk.
The only way to get anything done in Cork is to go onto the internet, right, you know?
Fair play.
Talk to Neil Prendeville.
That's a Cork threat at this stage, I think.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I just love Cork people.
Conversation that matters.
And be part of the conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Well, the news is out. He says he's a very, very proud Irishman. I'm quite sure he'd agree that he's a very, very proud Cork man as well. Cork's first actor, Oscar, which is absolutely super news. Only said, so much so, congratulations to Cillian Murphy winning Best Actor Oscar for Oppenheimer. So much so that there already has been a star attached to what looks like the front... The front of Debenhams this morning, and it says Cillian Murphy, a big red star, red for Leaside, red I suppose for the Rebel. I love this. This is fantastic. So we even have a star. It's like our own walk of our Cork Walk of Fame, as opposed to the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But there is Cillian Murphy's star on Patrick Street. Go take a photograph. It looks absolutely fantastic. And you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing, because you can't think of anybody that deserves it more than Cork. Or indeed, Cillian. Anyway, just have a listen here, because here's the moment when it all happened.
And the Oscar goes to Cillian Murphy.
This is the first Oscar win and nomination for Cillian Murphy.
I'm a little overwhelmed. Thank you to the Academy. Chris Nolan and Emma Thomas, it's been the wildest, most exhilarating, most creatively satisfying journey you've taken me on over the last 20 years. I owe you more than I can say. Thank you so much. Every single crew member, every single cast member on Oppenheimer, you guys carried me through. All my fellow nominees, I remain in awe of you guys, truly. I want to thank my incredible team. Big shout out to Craig Bankey, Brendan Murphy, Mary Murphy, Yvonne McGuinness, my partner in life and art, my two boys, Malachy and Aaron, who are sitting up there. I love you so much. And I'm a very proud Irish man standing here tonight, so... You know, we made a film about the man who created the atomic bomb, and for better or for worse, we're all living in Oppenheimer's world, so I would really like to dedicate this to the peacemakers everywhere. Yeah.
And the Oscar goes to...
Red FM, Cork's good times on the red carpet.
And it didn't take long, actually, for the first foot-and-mouth moment in the UK, and it goes to... Jonathan Ross, who claimed that Cillian Murphy was British. Happens all the time. I think it took him 3 minutes to correct himself, but at least he did, in fairness. But anyway, certainly no faux pas at the Oscars, unless you include some kind of fool acting by Al Pacino. You're a little bit confused, to say the least. But anyway, we're all celebrations. Cillian Murphy wins the Oscar for Cork and for Ireland, and indeed for Oppenheimer. And right there in the thick of it, Shannon Keenan, the Red FM entertainment correspondent, who had the best seat in the house, or at least one of them. Shannon, good morning.
Good morning, everything.
I'm grand. You've had a busy, busy 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. Just tell me again, because you were chatting earlier on with breakfast, about the moment when you heard his name being called out as the winner.
Oh, I literally screamed out loud. I had my earphones in my ears, and as soon as it was announced, I just went, ah! All over the place. And people were just like, what? And I was like, I'm Irish, and he's Irish, and I'm so proud of him. And then I just went back quiet again.
But, I mean, why were you so surprised? It had to happen. It would have been an Oscar bombshell if he hadn't won it, right?
Can I just say, like, obviously the odds were in his favour. Like, he was up for Best Actor. Everyone thought he was going to win. I thought he was going to win. Ireland thought he was going to win. But it was just like... I don't know, to be there was just so overwhelming. It was like a fairy tale moment. It was like the 360. It was like, we've We did it! You know, it was amazing.
And he's as cool as a cucumber, isn't he? He's just so cool and calm and collected. The next James Bond, I figure, will be Cillian Murphy, the way he carries himself. What was his reaction like? I mean, we heard the audio, but you saw the guy up close and personal.
Well, you said it yourself, he was as cool as a cucumber. I'm going to have to take lessons from the chap to be cool, because there's nothing cool in my body. I was all over the place. I was ecstatic for him. But he was just like, yeah, just real laid back, the way he always is, the way we know him to be.
You know something? I know that you know there's an awful lot of after parties after the Oscars, but do you think that Cillian Murphy, because he's with his wife and his kids, do you think he's the kind of guy that would actually go to an Oscar after party?
Well, I'm currently at an Oscar party now with Element Pictures, and rumour has it that he's going to show up and Emma Stone, so fingers crossed he brings the whole family with him.
So you're actually at an Oscar party. Tell us about those. How do they work? Private locations, invited only?
Yeah, so we just literally got like the scoop and we're like, okay, we're on the way, we're in a taxi. I have my press pass and everything on me around my neck. So we got in, it's Element Pictures, obviously their Irish production company. Robbie Ryan, he's a cinematographer for Element Pictures. And it's just a lot of Irish people just having a good time. So fingers crossed, Cillian Murphy and Emma Stone rock up.
What's the big party of them all, though? Isn't it? Doesn't Elton John have a party where a lot of the stars attend to? And what is that, up in the Hollywood Hills or something?
Yeah, Elton John has a party. Madonna has a party. Vanity Fair has a party. They're like the really, really big ones. Like, we're going to have to be, you know, top secret agents to break into those ones.
Do you have to surrender? Do you have to surrender your mobile phone going in, kind of thing? Yeah, no photographs, no videos, no WhatsApping.
Oh, I would say so, but I'd have to hide a phone somewhere on me, because I couldn't miss up on that opportunity. Are you mad?
I think it's fabulous.
Like,
it's just,
are you for real?
Yeah, I know. It's incredible news that in his first nomination, he goes and wins the thing. That doesn't always happen. You know, those people nominated year in, year out, and they just don't win. And yet he does it first time. It's incredible.
It's literally amazing. And I was so emotional. It was just a fairy tale end. And I'm sure the pubs in Cork are drank dry after all of that.
Well, they will be across the week anyway, because of Cheltenham. We'll have a double celebration, I suppose. Cheltenham and Cillian Murphy's Oscar. I better let you get back to mixing with the rich and famous then, shall I?
Yeah, I'm actually dancing with Robbie Ryan on the dance floor right now. It's like something out of Saturday Night Fever. Do you know that movie with John Travolta? The dance floor lights up and everything. It's mad. I love it.
I don't think you'd be very shy if Cillian Murphy comes in. You're going to ask him for a dance?
Of course I will. I'd be asking him to spin me around the dance floor for sure.
All right. Enjoy the party. Thanks so much for keeping us in touch all morning long. Do appreciate it.
Thanks, Emil.
All the best, Shannon. Emil. Take care.
Light, camera,
Cork.
Action.
The Oscar-winning county.
Oh, yeah.
On the Red FM carpet.
Lines open. You can text 0868 104106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104106. Very interesting, actually, because, okay, we got Best Director Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Best Actor in a Leading Role, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. Robert Downey Jr. got Best Actor in a Supporting Role. But what's very interesting is Best Actress in a Leading Role, because everybody was thinking that Lily Gladstone would get it for Killers of the Flower Moon. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen Anatomy of a Fall. I've seen Maestro. So Carey Mulligan in Maestro, I thought she was absolutely fantastic. I was hoping that she might win the Best Actress in a Leading Role for that, but then it went to Emma Stone for Poor Things. That was a big surprise. I don't think that was as expected. Of course, Cillian was expected, and I think you could probably say that Christopher Nolan was expected, and indeed Robert Downey Jr. was also expected, but the parties continue now. And as I said earlier on this morning, well, I just love the Cork way of doing things. There's a red star outside Debenhams and Patrick Street this morning with his name on it, so we've got a Cork Hall of Fame, I suppose. Or, you know, not unlike the Hollywood Hall of Fame or the Walk of Fame. And so that's great news. And listen, we're celebrating this. And I mean, we all anticipated it would happen. But thank you. Never know with the Oscars. You know, there's been shocks in the past, but not one for Cillian Murphy.
And the Oscar goes to
Red FM. Go- Cork's Good Times on the red carpet.
And we have our own Academy Awards right across the day today. They're the Academy Street Awards. We live in crazy times, lads. So the Red Patrollers are down there on Academy Street and will be for a lot of the day today. Shall we find out exactly what they're at? Because they've got lots and lots of goodie bags, apparently, to celebrate Cillian Murphy's win for Cork. Aoife, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
What's the deal? What's going on? Celebrating in the city. Tell us all about it.
So myself and Emma are here. We're on Academy Street at the moment and there is such a buzz around the place. People are on their way to work. They're coming up to us saying, up the rebels. And people are just delighted that we have a Cork person who's after winning an Oscar. Like, it's absolutely amazing. And we're on Academy Street, obviously, to celebrate his Academy Award. And we've got hoodie bags. We've got Red FM bags. We've got Red FM breakfast coffee cups. And we've got Red FM mugs.
Yeah.
So make sure to come up to us, guys.
Won't be long before you run out of those. There'd be big demand for them, I would think, yeah?
People are running up those hills.
I think that WhatsApp line's breaking up on me a little bit. So I'll come back to you a little later on, Aoife. I'll let you get on. The Academy Street Awards, the Red Patrollers are down in Academy Street until they run out, I suppose. Lots of people around already. They got backpacks, they got breakfast coffee mugs to give away as we celebrate Cillian's good times. And the good times, of course, being his Oscar win at the Oscars in Hollywood overnight. So if you're in the city, do two things. Get down and hook up with the Red Patrollers on Academy Street and get over to Patrick Street to see his star on the Patrick Street Hall of Fame. Cillian Murphy stars. Just great news. Fabulous. So we'll check back in with the Red Patrollers a little later on this morning. For all of the business, their lines are open. Kicking the ballots was a headline that made the Mirror yesterday morning. They got it so wrong. I mean, I think I'd said it on the air last week. I was getting the impression as we were going across the week last week, certainly by the amount of calls and texts and emails that I was getting, that there would be no. Or maybe even no. And that's exactly what happened, of course, with regards to the referendum at the weekend, two referendums. So they're licking their wounds now. It's interesting to see that there was no one to be seen after the two referendum results were announced. And Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they all completely and utterly left the building. So we had a breakdown then, of course, very soon. Well, I think it was maybe late Saturday afternoon for both the family amendment. When you round it up, nearly 68% of people nearly said no, you know, about 32% of people said yes. And then the care amendment, even higher with regards to a no figure, just over 73% of people said no and just over 26% of people said yes. It was staggering. I think of the like maybe 1.5 million people that voted in the referendum, well over a million of them voted no to both. So that's the story from the Mirror yesterday, kicking the ballots. This morning then we have the mopping up of the result. You know, Fine Gael anger with Varadkar over the crushing defeat. I don't think it's going to take a tap out of him, to be quite honest with you, even though the party is going to ask him to give account of himself at the next Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting after two humiliating referendum defeats. That's the front of this morning's mail. This morning they say TDs and senators have begun to distance themselves from the outcome. Even Lisa Chambers has already come out, the Fianna Fáil MEP, to announce that she voted no, even though she would have been under the cosh of Fianna Fáil, as were all Fianna Fáil TDs and senators, to vote yes. And even the Greens now are making the front of the Independent. The Greens are saying it was the other parties that are to blame for the referendum defeat. No point looking at the Greens or Eamon Ryan. They're saying they've distanced themselves from the no-no and they're blaming Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I thought I don't know. One minute I'm seeing Sinn Féin saying vote yes and vote yes. And then over the weekend then, getting the impression that maybe even Sinn Féin were trying to distance themselves from it. I don't know whether you agree with that or not, but one of the reasons that they're giving now, of course, who do they blame then? They blame the voters. They blame the electorate. Like this morning, the Mirror is saying that the government has claimed that it was the public's lack of understanding of what the referendum entailed that led to the no vote, or indeed no, that they just didn't know. And if they, which isn't true anyway, I think people studied every single thing they were told and then went out and voted, notwithstanding a lot of people just didn't bother voting at all. But for those that did, they had issues with the wording of it. And if you're not sure, of course, the message that went out there was vote no, because you need to be 100% sure. And if there wasn't a proper campaign of information, then you can't blame the voters for that. All voters can do is go and do their own research. So it's not fair to be, you know, saying voters had no understanding. The Irish Times this morning says coalition unease grows after referendum rejections. I don't think it's going to take a tap out of a single politician, nor Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach, nor any kind of coalition arrangement between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I think that that's just going to be just fine. They'll just lick their wounds and move on. Sinn Féin said if they're ever elected to power, and who knows, they said that they won't rerun this referendum. But your thoughts are welcome. We'll come back to it throughout the course of the morning. I think maybe if people expected no to carry it. There was others then saying it could be a yes, no. You know, yes to changes with regards to the family. And bringing it, and then of course durable relationships, put the kibosh on that, and then, you know, strive, that was another word that people just couldn't, you know, durable relationships, strive. Anyway, there's other stories making the papers today, and this one is the story that everybody's talking about, at least anybody that I've been meeting. They have been talking about the ordeal that this guard went through over an unclaimed bike inside a Garda station up the country, and he gave it to an elderly bachelor farmer who had a bad knee and had been advised by his doctor that cycling might help. His own bike was broken beyond repair, and he needed to get to and from the shops in the middle of COVID restrictions. So the Garda gave him a bike from the lockup, which hadn't been used. It was only on loan, wasn't worth more than €50. It was a wonderful act of humanity, and it led to his suspension from work for 3 years, a serious Garda investigation. And when I say serious, I'm talking about, you know, people who this is a section of An Garda Síochána called the NBCI that investigate very, very, very serious crime. You know, they're the kind of people that would investigate and did investigate the shooting of a Garda, for instance. But yet they go and under some kind of instruction from whomever and investigate this Garda. There's a retired judge makes the Mirror this morning saying that Drew Harris should be sacked after this officer was suspended and this investigation kicked in for giving a pensioner a bike. It's a former Dublin District Court judge called Gillian Hussey. She made the comments days after the hearing, cleared the officer. The DPP just threw the whole thing out when it eventually got to the DPP's desk. But she said, the commissioner is the person who should have been sacked long ago. Sack Harris. That's a front page of making the Mirror today. They're calling, I mean, talk about it. This is not a backlash, as one of the headlines in the paper this morning. They call it a bikelash. I'll come back to this story because Ali Bracken has a super article from Saturday's Independent that tells us exactly every single thing we need to know about what happened that led to this suspension of the Garda. And Jumbo Cairns then, in The Sun this morning, says that suspended Garda sent a letter to a TD threatening to take his own life because of the way he was treated by the force. He wrote that his family are going through absolute hell. Sorry now if I'm upsetting anybody telling you this, but it's important that we know. He wrote in this letter that he sent to the TD, we as a family are going through hell. We have no life anymore because of what GSOC is doing to our family over nothing. We cannot smile. We cannot have a decent conversation. Nothing. I cannot take it anymore. I see no option but to take my own life. I am mentally murdered by it all. It's just absolutely dreadful, isn't it? I mean, who made this decision? And on all of these occasions over the space of 3 years, did anybody hold their hand up and say, lads, just shut this thing down. This is beyond stupid. This is the kind of Garda policing that we actually want to see. But anyway, more on that throughout the course of the morning, and your thoughts are welcome. Text 0868104106. There's a Cork man before the courts. His name is Conor Greeny. He's 25 years old. He was before Cork District Court on Saturday. It is alleged he was involved in an incident that we reported on this programme outside the GPO in the city. He has said, apparently or allegedly has said, that it was a case of mistaken identity. Now, he's charged over an alleged random street assault which left a clothing boutique owner with a fractured ankle. He told Gardaí he had intended to target somebody else. Man accused of bashing boutique owner said he intended to hit somebody else. I'll have more on that throughout the course of the morning. In fact, Barry Roach is covering it for the Irish Times this morning. And a question that I was endeavouring to answer on Friday has been answered for me over the weekend. It's a Sunday Mirror story that tells us that €1.6 million is the amount of money now that RTE are down with regards to people withholding license fees. 1.6 million. That's where the losses were up until February. And I suppose you can kind of understand why people are continuing not to pay with these ridiculous payments and these sweetheart deals and money paid to people who are, you know, resigning in inverted commas from their jobs. And then one or two other stories making the papers today. There's a lovely story of a Glen man, a butcher by the name of Willie O'Sullivan. This is in this morning's Echo, where he says stood in Cork City through all weather, all winter long, collecting the names of people on Lee side who are opposing the war in Gaza. And there's a lovely article in the inside pages, including a super photograph of Willie with his table. I saw him there numerous times. He's an incredible guy. He says all wars are terrible, but this one is just cruel. The number of little children dying is heartbreaking. And he has gathered many, many, many signatures from Cork people, 10,000 of them. And it's a lovely story. Be nice to chat with him if it's possible. And then do you remember the fellas who brought a dead body to the post office to claim a pension last year? Bizarre, I know. So, but another one of those reported, The Independent this morning talks of two women now. This is in America, incidentally, lads. Two women have been accused in the US of driving the body of a deceased 80-year-old man to a bank to withdraw money from his account and then dropped his body off at the hospital. Now, if you look into this story in a little more detail, the bank involved in Ohio had allowed this to happen, you know, that people could, you know, these two women or whatever could bring this elderly gentleman to the bank. And if they saw him with the girls, that was fine. They paid out the money. But things got very, very suspicious and led to a big police investigation. And it's reminiscent of the two men in Carlow trying to claim a dead man's pension in the post office in 2022. Incidentally, they were sentenced to 2 years and 18 months in jail each. So this will be interesting to see what happens with this one. Of course, it's gross abuse of a corpse and theft from a person in a protected class, apparently. So police said they received a call that they then dropped the body off to an emergency room, wouldn't identify the person nor themselves, and left. So we live in very, very, very strange times. And I was mentioning earlier on all sorts of celebrations, and there will be a lot of celebrations with regards to Cillian Murphy's win overnight at the Oscars. But also, there'll be an awful lot of people celebrating Cheltenham this week, and it all kicks off this week. And don't you love the way the papers automatically go to how many pints of Guinness will be drank, how many bookmaker sandwiches will be ate, how many pots of tea, and how many bottles of champagne? Well, the number is 300,000 pints of Guinness, 14,000 bottles of champagne, and 10,000 gallons of tea will be served up. 5 tons of cheese, apparently. And that's all just in Cheltenham alone. Papers also this morning have a love, and in fairness, Kevin has some great audio from the trip to Euro Disney from the Cork City Children's Hospital Club. They flew away yesterday and Kevin was there to see them off. There's a lovely photograph making the Echo today of all of the families and all of the kids in the big huge foyer area of Cork Airport yesterday. The Lord Mayor was there to see them off. John Looney from the Cork City Hospital Children's Club was there, and all of the families. Over 80 people travelled. So it was the kids, their families, doctors, nurses, social workers, ambulance personnel, everybody and anybody. And they're there now, and they're, I suppose, they're having their first really busy morning in Euro Disney this morning. And I'd say there's fierce excitement there. So more on that throughout the course of the morning. Text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. Back after the break.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868
104 106. The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Your opportunity to get involved in the conversation. Text 0868 104 106. I'm going to run the Children's Club audio from Cork Airport this morning because it's just such a lovely, lovely story. John Looney and all of those involved, they're all volunteers. They all give of their time, and they took two beautiful, beautiful families on our behalf from this radio program out to Euro Disney with them, and I'm so grateful. And that's not the first time that they've done that when they've heard people on air with us who need a bit of a lift. What was the atmos like there? It must have been absolutely incredible.
You know, there's some gigs that you do, and we're very
privileged. I know you were looking forward to that. Yeah,
I just, the minute I heard they were going off and I heard the work that John does, I just, like, you arrived and the first thing I saw was Spider-Man all dressed up doing front flips and back flips and cartwheels and the worm, and he was keeping all the kids entertained. And like, there's like you hear in the audio, we speak to nurses and doctors and different parents, but the nurses, like, they're saying it's my 16th year, it's my 12th year, it's my 13th year.
Big kids themselves.
They just love it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's a reason why people, these doctors and nurses, take time out to come back and do it again and again, because they see the effort it makes. Now, like, you'll hear a lot of people in the audio, but like, just like, even people coming in for flights who had no idea what was going on, they came in, they saw the group, and you could see people kind of smiling as they were going through the airport just to see the buzz, you know?
Oh, yeah. Even if you weren't connected with it, you'd be lifted by it. But just quickly, this was somewhat delayed, or at least delayed for a lot of the families because of COVID, wasn't
it? Yeah, last time was 2019. So quite a few of them, I suppose, were looking forward to the trip in 2020, and then it didn't happen. So it's only just back now. I mean, it's been 5 years, really, since they've been able to go on it. So the excitement was absolutely mega. And it's so funny, the ones who come back every year, they all have the Disney ears. They all have the different like bits of memorabilia that they picked up over the years. So it's like, they bring the ears and they bring all the Disney stuff back to Disney for that. It's just, I can't get over, you know, it was just massive, next level, really.
This morning, and they're getting stuck in, and they'll be jumping from ride to ride and experience to experience. Win-win on Lee Side in so many different ways this morning. Have a listen, guys.
When you wish upon a star, desires will come.
Voices that we've heard before on our show. Who do I have with me?
It's Amy Fuller.
And Sean Fuller.
So Amy and Sean Fuller, of course, we heard your story on show a few months ago. John reached out and made the very generous offer. Today's the day that you're going. How's everyone feeling?
Oh, we're just so excited. We're obviously, since we found out we were just jumping with joy, counting down the days, the weeks, the months. And so 6 o'clock this morning, the alarms went off, the kids were up, all excited. I think it was the fastest I've ever seen him get dressed, so we just can't wait now to get there. And just, we're so grateful as well to have the opportunity.
There was bath beds about 7:30 last night. They couldn't wait. As soon as that they went to bed, they'd be waking up to go to come here then today.
And who do I have with me?
This is Bo and Millie.
That's a lovely name. And come here, you're all set with the ears. You're all set to go. Is there one part you're looking forward to the most?
The rides.
Are you interested in the princesses?
More stitch.
So you're all set to go. Did we have to get passports sorted last minute or anything like that, or are we all good to go?
No, we've been quite organised. We obviously had to stop Sean's chemo in January just so that he could be well enough to go and strong enough, and we'll obviously go back to that in April when we get back. Other than that, we've been fine, and he's got loads of energy and he looks well and stuff. So I think it's probably the best time for us to go.
Absolutely. And I suppose the thing is about making those memories. I mean, there's no better place than Disneyland.
That's it. Yeah. I could be missed out. Oh, I missed out on the opportunity to go last year with the kids. So the kids are excited to spend time with Daddy then this year.
What was their reaction when you told them they were going?
Oh, that was over the moon. Over the moon. And I was like, yes, we're going with Daddy this year.
Yeah. It was kind of bittersweet last year because Sean was supposed to come with us on our family holiday. And with treatment and surgery, he had to cancel. And my sister came with me to help with the kids. But it was an amazing holiday, but it wasn't the same. The kids missed him. Especially Bo, he's obsessed with Spider-Man. So as soon as we saw Spider-Man last year, he was like, I want my daddy. I want my daddy to be here. So to be able to redo it all this year again, and have Sean there is brilliant. Like, we can't thank John and the Cork City Children's Charity enough for inviting us and just letting us be part of it.
And you're only at the beginning now. You've a whole couple of days to look forward to.
I know. I'm like, just get me on the plane.
Brilliant. Look, I'm really looking forward to speaking to you afterwards and hearing how it all went. Just delighted that you're going. You're looking great, and hopefully when you come back, all will be well. So enjoy the trip, and we'll speak to you very soon.
My name's Vicky Leavis, and my two kids with special needs, and they have a nurse, and her name's Christine, and she's put us forward for the city club, so that's how we're here.
When did you find out they were going to Disneyland?
Just before Christmas, and we're super excited. I couldn't believe it, really.
Did Did you wait till Christmas to break the news, or did you tell them straight away?
Oh no, they didn't know. They don't know. Like, they don't know where they're going.
Still don't.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's going to be some.
Yeah, the excitement's going to be unbelievable. Just the fact they're going on the plane is exciting enough, yeah, you know.
Hello, what's your name?
You can't speak.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And what's his name?
Robert.
Robert.
That's James.
And James. Yeah. And what ages are they?
They're 14. They're identical twins, yeah.
Really? Yeah, you can tell that by looking at them 100%.
Yeah.
Well, like, we'd never be able to do it on our own because the two boys being in wheelchairs, like, it's very difficult, especially as they're getting older and bigger. It's really hard to manage it with just myself and my husband. So now we've, like, loads of extra hands and loads of extra help. And also because they'd be medically complex, we'd have, there's doctors and nurses with us on the trip as well, which is an extra security for us, really, and also, which is brilliant. Like, we've gone to their Christmas dues as well, which are amazing, like, and we just get so well looked after as well, so yeah.
And I suppose, look, in a country where often you're trying to battle hard to get the services that you need, it's nice to have something given.
Oh my god, it's unbelievable. Like, it's all, like, we're just going to be so well looked after. It's like I actually don't know what to expect, you know. So yeah.
My name is Ruth Holland. I suppose I'm a social worker and I work in the Mercy. So I've worked in the paediatric ward and I see children who experience illness or maybe who are socially disadvantaged or experience bereavement and loss. And I think it's very important that they go away as a group and get to have a break from reality for a little while on a trip of a lifetime. And I suppose everybody on the trip is equal. So regardless of your background or what you've been through, it's just we're all there to have a good time and to really enjoy the trip. I joined the club in 2005 for my sins. So I suppose, I think it's about my 16th year coming because with COVID we didn't travel for the last number of years. So it's a great trip to come on, fantastic for the kids to see and a fantastic experience for them.
What kind of reactions do you get from the kids when they first go through the doors?
Oh, unbelievable. And when they see the castle in the middle of Disneyland and there's a fireworks show at night that everybody, even us as volunteers, we just go back to every single night and the parades and all the characters and, you know, they're running with their address book to get signatures and then there's lots of different rides. So some guys like the roller coasters, some guys don't.
Yeah.
Some girls like some princesses, some girls don't or whatever. And there's something there for everybody and it's just a magical experience and you just see their eyes opening like, what's next? Look at that. Wow.
So I say you never get sick of it, do you?
Absolutely not. No, it's a great trip and even me going so long, every year there's something different and there's something you haven't experienced before. So like I never get tired of going. It's just a wonderful experience. And I suppose for the children as well, I'm going to use the words a bit of normality because sometimes when they're going to hospital or if they're from a difficult situation or if they've experienced a bereavement, you know, that can kind of be the centre of their world. Whereas on this trip, everybody's the same. It's break from reality and something different. And I should say for some parents, that well-earned break as well.
Mary Jones from Lee Travel. It's magical and the kids are magical and the experience that you see when they arrive and the amazement and the wonderment in their face just brings you to another place that you won't get in your ordinary day-to-day living.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to portray that to anybody, but to see the reaction of these kids and what they get out of this is just phenomenal. The little child in me comes out once we land there. Once I get them all in and get them sorted and checked into rooms and they have their meals, then the little child comes out. I suppose what you're aware of is, you know, you're the kids' needs, you're going to have wheelchair kids, you may have lift-ons, lift-offs, you know, you'd have invalid passengers, and that has to be catered for. That's done right from the very beginning, from when they arrive at the airport, you know, that your wheelchair passengers or any child with special needs is taken care of, and that you get the rooms in the hotels that are adapted to the wheelchairs, and then once they get on site, beforehand we get these passes that they can go in and get special entry rather than having to do the big queues.
Aisling Dunn.
Kirsty Grant.
It's all about the children and the surprise they get when they're over there, the excitement, they get to enjoy themselves and forget what illnesses they have and just totally just relax for the whole couple of days and just enjoy. Just enjoy.
And I would work with the Cork Deaf Association as a volunteer, and every year a group of the deaf children are able to come along on this trip, and it's just so exciting for them. And yet they absolutely love it. It is a dream of a lifetime for all of them that do come. So yeah, it's just exciting.
I think this is my 12th year going with the club. So yeah, I'm used to it now and I love it.
And you've the ears to prove it.
Exactly. Daisy Duck has to come with us.
What's the kind of reaction you get from them when they come through the door first? Like, obviously there's all the getting over there, which can be a little bit of a stress, but when you get there, I imagine it's like it's all forgotten about.
Leaving mummy and daddy behind. Yeah, just go through those security doors and forget about it. And it now begins, it now starts. So their journey now starts. The excitement is there. So yeah, they can get a little bit kind of nervy beforehand, but once they get through security, they're absolutely fine.
It's the first time you'd ever see children having no problem waking up early in the morning and going to bed at night, because they're getting up because they're so excited. They're getting up because they're so excited, and they're falling asleep because they are exhausted from the whole day of walking around, going on all day, the rides, seeing all the characters. It's just brilliant. There's one or two of the rides that I like, and I don't have any fear of heights or anything like that, so I'm fine on them.
You'll be going on the big ones, though.
All of them.
Yeah, she takes over where I can't do. That's why I'm not able for some of them, but she's well able. I can tell you the most stressful thing.
Yeah.
Shopping. Oh, with the children.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much, their eyes are huge, there's so much, and you're just like, this is very stressful for me. I can't cope with all of this shopping. But yeah, no, but it's a lot of fun. They love it.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant
craze. Yeah, Paul Higgins is there, Zach Higgins is a star there, and we're going to Disneyland there with Cox City Trends and Scrubs there.
How long have you been in the club?
Oh, they kind of took Zach on board there when he was locked down there, so five years ago now, in May, so yeah. This is the fifth year now, and they've been very good to know, to be fair.
First, you're getting great value anyway, just trading coming with you.
I suppose they were all through the mill as well, so it's good for them as well.
Brilliant. And Ashley, I suppose for you as well, like to have the kids coming with you, it's like, you know, it's all about making memories, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And they're all a good age for it now, I think, as well, you know, that they'll get to really enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. Have we any particular preferences? Superman, princesses? I presume the lads are into the princesses, are they?
No.
You don't want to see, you don't want to meet Cinderella?
No.
Well, somebody will have to do it, I suppose. Yeah. Well, we got you in a dress, so we get you.
Frozen, is it? Princess Elsa.
Is this your first trip, though? Or have you been on previous trips before?
This is our first trip, though. So,
we were supposed to go 4 years ago, and it just didn't happen over COVID. So this is why we're going this year. Yeah. But in hindsight, it's better, really, because that was bigger and is in a better place now, you know?
Absolutely. And they've had the years to think about going as well. Yeah. So yeah. When did you break the news to them? When were they told?
This morning.
Yeah, so we
gave them Christmas morning, so they didn't have too much to wait. Going for the 30s, he's going to tomorrow there with the Waltz, so that's where he thinks he's going.
He wants to go on the spinny thing, I want to go on the spinny thing, because he was on the Waltzers, I think he was there at Moore last year, so that's why he's comparing it to it. So he's in for a big shock.
I would say, there's a lot of spinny things anyway, there's no shortage of them. It's great for, you see all the families here, like the work that they do. Like, I know, obviously, with Zach, he's actually flying, he looks great, but for a lot of kids, it's a real chance of respite, so it's just a great couple of days for families and kids to kind of get together and, you know, to have that kind of trip of a lifetime.
It is, yeah. And they're brilliant, the Cork City Hospital and stuff, they're amazing, the work that they do, I think, behind the scenes as well, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that people don't see, and just how well organised this is today, like, just coming up and dropping the bags and everything is just, oh, it's fantastic, like, really, now the credit to them, like, you know, it's great.
There's a lot of kids down there, they're only on the start of their journey, for we're probably coming out the other end of ours, don't so. You know what? So I hope the kids have a ball. That's what it's all about, really.
Unfortunately, through the last 2 years, through COVID, we just couldn't go, you know.
Yeah.
But there's 82 of us back here now together, like, and all the group is back here together. 100% voluntary, as you all know. There's nobody ever paid or ever will be paid. And for us all to get together to get these children 50 total, and some of their parents to come along with us on a trip of a lifetime. It's just unbelievable, you know.
So that's the thing, like, there's so much planning goes into it. I know, obviously, you've done it every year, so you know, but the last couple of years, obviously, you haven't been able to go. But this is the payoff now, to see them all out in the foyer, Spider-Man doing backflips, all the kids smiling, parents relaxed. It's just, all the work makes it worthwhile when you see this, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, like, even the name tags there, no, like, to do the name tags nearly takes 3 hours alone, you know, to get the spellings right. It's another 3 hours. Passports, unbelievable. Like, the things that go on behind the scenes is just crazy. But again, it all clicks in and all worthwhile, you know. So,
what's your favourite part of the trip?
You know, seeing the smiles in the children's faces, like knowing that what they're going through and that we know what they're going through, you know. And everything is kind of forgotten over there. They're just happy, they're this and that. Like families are meeting new friends, families who are going through traumatic experiences think they're the only family going through it, but actually they're not. And they meet other families who are going through the same thing. This is great help for them and everything else, you know. So, I will tell you something else, part of what we do as well, right? All the kind of volunteers that go, we'll actually mind the children as well, while the parents are going on the rides. And trust me, the parents love the rides just as much as the children. They do.
Have you any screamers?
Unbelievable. I mean, the haunted, or the Thunder Mountain, always one of the kind of obs. Everyone loves Thunder Mountain, but Jesus, it's unbelievable.
I suppose there's a lot more work now from here on in for the next couple of days, but you've a great team. We're speaking to some of the nurses there, speaking to Mary Lee Travel. This is a huge effort goes in behind it.
Oh, it's an unbelievable effort. I mean, believe it or not, we're back on Wednesday, right? And we're back in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We have our own standing in this year on the St. Patrick's Day Parade. So what we're hoping is that all the children that come with us to your Disney, we're going to invite them all back, they don't even know it yet, into St. Patrick's Day on Saturday. It's like a reunion, you know?
Even more to look forward to. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous event. The Cork City Hospital's Children's Club and John Looney looking after so many children and their families, and they're there now and enjoying every minute of it. There was some buzz at Cork Airport. Lovely text from Mary says, my kids and myself went to Disney a few years ago with the Children's Club after a bad accident. They were earth angels. They really, really looked after us. They're the most special people ever. They put a smile back on my children's face after they went through such a traumatic time. John Looney is a fantastic man. Well said, Mary. Thanks for those kind words. And I think you're talking on behalf of many, many people when you say that. Well done to John. All of them are volunteers. They all give of their time freely and without question. And year in, year out, they just do great work. The Cork City Hospital Children's Club. Back after the break, text 0868 104 106.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Mad morning this morning, but good times, good times. And the good times just keep on coming. We have the return, as promised, of Monday Munchies from this Monday and for hopefully many Mondays to come. We're in working in an association with Lusso in Ballincollig, husband and wife duo, Carol Barry and Ian Kerrigan, creating beautiful, beautiful handmade treats. If you add up both of their experiences, it's over 50 years in the catering industry between them, and you will get to taste their brilliantness. So Monday Munchies is back. Your opportunities to win. If you're a lover of chocolate and you're a lover of cakes and all sorts of beautiful, delightful things, then you need to text us as to who you are and where you're working. Text 0868 104 106, and we'll start those shout-outs in about 45 minutes' time. So all of these wonderful treats will be delivered by Red Patrollers directly to you. We'll have the buttery Viennese swirls, the peanut butter slices, the caramel shortbreads, the triple chocolate brownie. Oh, and I guess there's going to be some fabulous Easter treats as well. Little Easter bunnies dipped in honeycomb. So it really is a fabulous treat. So you'll be getting the kettle on this lunchtime if you're lucky enough to win, courtesy of yourselves and Lusso in Ballincollig. All right, so you can check them out. Everything they do, their delicious creations are all online at lussocork.ie. So text who you are and where you are to 0868 104 106, and we'll start that audio. We'll start those shout-outs in about 45 minutes time. Can I also say the winning really continues, because after 11 this morning we'll have Aslan in studio, and Aslan of course are travelling and touring again, and they've got a big gig on Cypress Avenue on the 22nd of the month, and they'll be playing live in studio this morning, and we'll have 3 pairs of tickets to give away for that Cypress Avenue gig on March 22nd. So that's Aslan in studio a little later on this morning. But as I say, you know, the red carpet belongs to only one person.
And the Oscar goes to
Red FM. Cork's good times on the red carpet.
Ah, yes, indeed. He certainly does belong to Killian Murphy. Now, I was playing you different audio clips earlier on this morning from the Oscars, and they're all gone to Oscar parties now. But William Wall was Killian Murphy's former English teacher at Prez. He's in hospital at the moment, actually, William, and we wish him well. But he took some time to chat with Kelly Murphy in our newsroom this morning. Just a quick chat, because as I say, he's in hospital, and I didn't want to be overly disturbing the guy, but I think we got a little bit of audio here, if I can find it. There's so much stuff here. Where is it? God, there it is. Have a listen. This is what he had to say when he heard the news this morning.
Hi, I'm William Wall. I'm a novelist and a poet, and I used to be a teacher. And I taught Killian Murphy English for at least 2 years, maybe three. It's a long time ago now. It's 40 years. And I stayed up last night, actually, to watch the Oscars. And I just can't believe it. I'm so happy and thrilled. It's well-deserved and has been a while coming. But, you know, he's always been a brilliant actor, a master of his trade, or his art, really. And now he's got the final seal of authority on it. He knows where he is now, and the world is his oyster.
Did you kind of know there was something special about him when you were teaching him?
I did. I couldn't have said he was going to win an Oscar, or indeed that he'd go into acting, but I knew he was a performer. You could see it in the way that he performed in school, in the school, in the band that he had at school, and also in class. You could see, you know, he enjoyed reading and he loved books, you know. If you can hear a noise in the background, they're in hospital, and that's the background noise. But yeah, it's he was a pleasure to teach, and he was one of those people who just got it instantly, you know.
Are you feeling particularly proud today to have taught him?
Massively proud, massively proud. And I think Cork City must be proud as well. And you know, as I'm on Red FM now, you know, it's maybe a good time to call for the freedom of the city for Killian. I think it's the least we could do. First Irish-born person to win the Oscar, and from Cork.
Absolutely. I saw a little Hollywood Walk of Fame star has been plastered onto one of the walls in town for him. Should we do something? It looks very cool. What do you think about that? And should there be something done for Killian to pay tribute to him?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There has to be a civic honour for him. I'm not sure what fit in the city. You know, maybe because he was born in the city, he's not eligible or something, but he definitely has to have a civic honour. And UCC for giving him a doctorate. Even though he never finished his law degree, they should give him an honorary doctorate. It's time to honour our own.
Well said, William Wall. Well said, calling for the freedom of the city and an honorary doctorate. And I'd say there'll be many more accolades and tributes on Lee's side. But fair play to you. I hadn't even thought about that. It's two damn good ideas, I can tell you. Killian Murphy, Oscar winner. Cork Oscar winner, more to the point.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
And be part of that conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. And don't forget, Monday Munchies are back with Luso of Ballincollig. And they do absolutely beautiful custom artisan treats, all handmade. Some gorgeous, gorgeous cakes, chocolate and peanut butter slices and caramel shortbreads and chocolate brownies and all sorts of goodies. As I was saying earlier on, it's time to get the kettle on if you win today. And how do you do so? Well, you know the drill. Text 0868104106. Tell us where you are and who you are and where you're working, and we'll send you a big fabulous box of goodies by Red Patrollers this lunchtime, courtesy of ourselves and Luso of Ballincollig. And everybody loves a treat, and you could start the week off by texting who you are and where you are to 0868104106, and we'll start those shout outs in about half an hour's time. Quite a lot of texts on different topics, which we will come back to throughout the course of the morning. Some of them are referendum related. Others, of course, are celebrating the win of Killian Murphy at the Oscars. It's just a great result for Ireland, a great result for Cork, and indeed for Killian. And as William Wall was saying this morning, the world is now his oyster. If he wasn't in huge demand already, he seriously will be now. Anyway, text 0868104106. Can I turn back to a story that broke last week? And there was a statement issued by the sister of the girl who was beaten She was an unintended target, is the allegation being made now by the individual before the courts, as in man accused of bashing boutique owner said he intended to hit somebody else. But nonetheless, she had to be taken to hospital and she was injured. Selena Regazzoli. It happened at 20 minutes to 10 last Thursday morning on Oliver Plunkett Street, not too far from the GPO. Barry Roach is covering this story for the Irish Times, and he joins us by phone. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm well. I was just referencing there that after this incident, Regina's Selena's sister up in Dublin posted online how upset and shocked she was that this could happen in broad daylight on a city street. But what's the backstory to this? Because it did lead to a court appearance at Cork District Court on Saturday.
Yes, Neil, as you say, I was listening to you on Friday morning, my way down to Wexford, and you were talking about the sister, her sister posting about it and the fact that it could happen in broad daylight. Well, Saturday afternoon, a man was brought before the court. He's a guy called Conor Graney. He's 25, and he's from Fernery, and he was charged with assault causing harm. Sorry, my apologies, assault.
Causing harm to Selena
Regazzoli. Causing harm to Selena Regazzoli, as you say, on Oliver Plunkett Street at about 9:40 on Thursday morning. And we heard at the court case that he had admitted the Gardaí was a case of mistaken identity. Now, Garda Orla Moriarty of Anglesey Street, she gave evidence rest, charge and caution on charging with the assault. And he made no reply when he was charged with it. But we heard from Inspector David Noonan that Gardaí were objecting to bail, and Garda Moriarty outlined the objections. She said they were doing that on the basis of the seriousness of the charge and the strength of the evidence. And she said that Gardaí would allege Mr. Graney approached Ms. Regazzoli outside the GPO while she was walking to work, and that he struck her in the face in an unprovoked attack on what was an innocent victim. She said he hit and pushed her. She fell and dislocated and fractured her ankle, her right ankle, and had to be taken by ambulance to CUH to undergo surgery. And I think she's posted herself on social media about the waiting for the swelling to go down before she could be operated on. She said the entire incident, this is Garda Moriarty, said the entire incident was captured in CCTV, which clearly identified Mr. Graney as the assailant, and he had admitted the assault when questioned by Gardaí. And he stated in an interview following his arrest that Mr. Regazzoli was not the intended target, but he threatened to get the intended target the next time. And she said Gardaí were concerned that he would commit further crimes if he was granted bail, given he had threatened this other person, while they also feared he would interfere with witnesses. Now, he was cross-examined by Barrister Elaine Audley for, she was deputising for Mr. Graney's solicitor, Frank Butmer, and Garda Moriarty accepted that Mr. Regazzoli was from Dublin, not from Cork, but she said that Mr. Regazzoli had a huge or large media social media presence, and she has over 28,000 followers on Instagram, and Garda were concerned that he might try to engage with her on social media. So that was the grounds of the objection.
Right, okay, okay. He said, I am not a monster. I didn't intend to go as hard as I did. Is that right?
Yeah, he went into the box then to support his application for bail, and he revealed he'd been addicted to cocaine, benzodiazepines, but had been clean of drugs for 3 years until recently. And he said he was on his way to becoming a good bricklayer when his grandfather, the most important person in his life, he said, became ill in November and died within 2 months. And that had upset him. That happened just 6 days before Christmas. And he was trying to get into a residential place in a drug treatment centre. But he said, as you say, when he was asked about would he seek to intimidate her, he said he didn't know Mr. Regazzoli, and the assault on her was a case of mistaken identity, as his intended victim was someone else who was harassing him. And he said, I'm not going to Dublin looking for an innocent woman. I feel terrible. I'm disgusted with myself. I am not a monster. I didn't intend to go as hard as I did. I didn't intend to break anyone's bones. The offence has nothing to do with addiction. I didn't mean for it to go as far as I did. I meant to more or less frighten the woman. That's all, he said. So he said, I'm a drug addict, but I'm not saying I have no self-control. I thought it was somebody else that was harassing me. I meant to frighten her. I didn't mean for her to twist and break her ankle. So that was what he said. And then Judge Mary Dorgan, she said, having considered all the evidence, and she felt Gardaí had made a strong case opposing bail. And she remanded him in custody to appear again at the district court on March the 14th. By video link, but she said he could reapply for bail if he resolved issues over in a house or an address that he wanted to stay at. There was some confusion over that. Yeah. He thought he could stay at a family home, but his mother had contacted the solicitor, or Elaine Audley, and said no, that wasn't possible. So that has to be resolved. But he's been remanded in custody, as I say, till March the 14th.
Okay, we'll watch this space for details. Just while I have you, there was another court case, was at the back of last week, and this of course references Alejandro Mizan, who suffered, I'm reading from your own copy in the Times, horrendous facial injuries, and was attacked by an XL bully while playing with friends. That was before the court recently, wasn't it?
That was Wexford. on Friday in Ilya. It was a horrific case, a horrible, horrible, horrific case. He's a 9-year-old little boy. Well, sorry, he was 9 when it happened. He's now 10, little boy. Somebody, a Romanian, he's living in Forgelands Estate in Wexford, in Enniscorthy in Wexford. And he was out playing with three of his friends, two other 9-year-olds and a 7-year-old. And he was attacked. The date was the 27th of November 2022. He was attacked by an XL bully dog. And the dog, people can see online the photographs, but he really ripped the kid apart. His face, he suffered serious injuries. Both cheeks were ripped open from ear to down to the mouth, and his lower lip was ripped off effectively.
Wounds to his legs and his stomach as well, though. Never mind the trauma attached to it all.
It's a horrible, horrible, horrible case. And the poor kid is, you know, we heard from his family, his brother Raoul spoke afterwards, and in the victim impact statement, they said that, you know, he'd lost his childhood that day. Mentally, physically, people could see for themselves what had happened to him and how he was, but mentally he wasn't happy going to school anymore. No. Because he thought everyone was looking because of his injuries, and similarly even playing with his friends or trying to play with his friends, he was afraid that he'd be bullied because of how he looked. And he wants to know, he's always asking, is it going to be like this for life?
I know.
And the two people who were before the courts were the owner of the dog, a woman called Karen Miller, and she was charged with, she pleaded guilty to two counts of endangerment, because 4 days before this, the dog had escaped from the leash that she had him on as well, and he attacked a 10-year-old boy. Luckily, that boy was wearing a padded jacket and ended up with some scratches, but escaped otherwise. And then there was the one with Alejandro on the 27th of November, and then she was also charged with another count of obstructing Gardaí because she denied owning the dog or knew who owned the dog. Mm-hmm. So she got 2 years, and then her partner at the time, he threatened to kill two people if they, of comments somebody made on social media, and then he threatened to kill Karen Miller's father over his advice that they should come forward to the guards and say what had happened. And then he also was charged with a third count of inhumane killing of the dog, because we heard the dog was killed with blows to the head. Wow. With what appears like an axe. It was pretty barbaric, the whole thing. But it was a horrible case.
And did the judge want to send out a message with regards to Miller's sentence of 3 years with one suspended?
He gave him 3 years with 12 months taken into account the fact that he's already been in custody for the bones of, I think, 18 months since it happened. So he said there had to be a deterrent. He said, send out a message because it was a horrific thing. He said, he expressed sympathy to Alejandro's family, and the judge thanked him for attending court. He said, you had a beautiful child and you still have a beautiful child, and obviously a brave young man. This is a small step for a long road ahead. My sympathies, blessings, and good wishes to you, especially Alejandro. So it's, you know, it's just a horrible, horrible, he's hoping to go to Turkey or the States for further surgery. His mouth has been reduced in size. He'll always have the scars, the consultant. There was a medical report presented from a Dr. David Orr, medical. He'd been airlifted, by the way, I should say, from Enniscorthy by Irish Coast Guard helicopter up to Crumlin to undergo emergency surgery. He underwent that surgery, but they've had to basically reconstruct his mouth, and his mouth is reduced in size, and the chances of him ever looking normal again is slim. But the family are hoping that he's going to go to, they can go to Turkey or America for further surgery. But the mental trauma that I think is going to be something that, you know,
absolutely,
he's good for a 9-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid to see us now.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Barry, so much this morning. As always, Barry Roach, Southern correspondent with the Irish Times. Text 0868 104 106. Back after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Of course, another sad story on Leaside recent times was the death of Sheila Dunn, who died on February 11th. She was in an SUV with another woman. The vehicle crashed in and around the Sarsfield Court area of Glanmire. And I see that the Sunday World published a statement that was issued by Bernard Murphy, who owns Murphy's Rock in Ballyvillane. You might recall you were reporting on Sheila Dunn's death following the accident, and then her subsequent passing away some days later. First responders from Cork City Fire Brigade actually cut the roof off the vehicle to access the women were in the car. The back of the vehicle couldn't be opened because of the crash and the way it was, I guess, the way it was resting. But three fire crew assisted with efforts to resuscitate Miss Dunn. And then she was transported to the CUH and she tragically passed away 2 days later. The Sunday World reported yesterday that Sheila Dunn's understood have been found on the driver's seat side of the vehicle. The other woman who was in the car with Sheila Dunn wasn't seriously injured in the crash. And interestingly, Glengardaí obviously started an investigation and they continue to appeal for any witnesses to the collision to get in touch with them. But in the wake of all of this, and of course, there are many people talking about this awful tragedy and everybody has different stories and rumours and claims and counterclaims. And in the wake of all of the interest in it by the public and much of it, of course, on social media, Bernard Murphy issued a statement on Friday. And he posted online, he said, since the 12th of February 2024, I've witnessed and lived through the most vindictive, vile lies and rumours regarding the fatal crash that occurred in Glanmire on Sunday, the 11th of February. The persecution was non-stop. And while I have personally suffered horribly over the past few weeks, my experience in that time was paled compared to what the Dunn family are suffering. I'm sorry to them for having to read and listen to the appalling lies at such a heartbreaking time for them. He said in the statement, I sought assistance and received assistance from the Gardaí in dealing with the rumour mill. And I stress I was nowhere near this accident, nor was I arrested on any date since the 11th of February. The lies that were spread and posted all over social media, WhatsApp groups, papers, were bogus hate memes, rumours viciously fabricated about me, my bar, Murphy's Rock, utter total lies. He says, the past 3 weeks I've watched the impact this has had on my staff and my business. I apologise publicly to my staff for what they have had to listen to and the continuous questioning of them. This is a once-off statement. I will be adding no further comment on this. He obviously publicly addressed what he described as the utter and total lies being spread about him. Sunday World reported the statement in detail yesterday morning. And the Sunday World reminded us that it has been reported that officers are investigating if Sheila Dunn was deliberately moved into the driver's seat after the crash. And Garda investigations continue and we have to allow that to happen and to take its course. That's the latest update in that case. No more can be said about it because much of it is all rumour and innuendo and claim and things like that. But undoubtedly, with the work of An Garda Síochána, all of the facts will come out at some stage. Text 0868104106 for all other business. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. And to the events of the weekend, and The Ditch reported a couple of very interesting points over the weekend. One had to do with the Attorney General's letter that was sent to the likes of Roderick O'Gorman. It was kind of like just observing a couple of issues regarding the upcoming referendums at the time and some of the wording. And the other thing, and they leaked it, that letter was leaked and The Ditch published it. And then the other one was, it would appear from what you can see that you have Leo Varadkar outside a polling station on the day of the referendum when there's a moratorium. None of us would have been allowed to talk about it while people were voting. Leo Varadkar, The Ditch said, ignored electoral law by canvassing for yes votes outside a polling station. Leo Varadkar asked people to vote yes in a video uploaded to Instagram just after he cast his vote that morning. Now, you're not allowed to do that. Now, Fianna Gael have come back and said that there was no laws or rules broken regarding, what would have been a moratorium on any kind of electioneering. So I don't know how they can stand over that one. But then, of course, you do have the letter from the Attorney General that was never made public with regards to the wording around the 39th Amendments to the Constitution and the 40th Amendment on care. But If you, it's very, very lengthy. I mean, you wouldn't have an opportunity to read it all on air. Not within a half an hour. But certainly, even the Attorney General at the time, and this is December of last year, was honing in on the words durable relationship and saying this could lead to problems down the road. My words, not the Attorney General's, but this could lead to a lot of confusion and possible a lot of activity in the courts. And the other one was the use of the word strive. So those two words, of course, really made a huge difference when it came to how people voted. But I don't think anybody expected, I certainly didn't think it would be such an overwhelming vote against the two referendums. But that's what happened nonetheless. And I suppose we could have called it last week, just based alone on the amount of calls and texts and everything that I was receiving to this program, it seemed evident to me. And I think, like, there was a right. Somebody said to me there was only one little constituency above in Dublin that actually voted yes, yes. Everywhere else was just a resounding, overwhelming no. But anyway, your thoughts are welcome on that. Text 0868104106. I spoke with ex-councillor Tim Brosnan last week on the subject, and he nailed his colours to the mast front and centre on Friday's programme. Joins me again by phone. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Good morning. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but I think, you know, 68% no in the family amendment and just over 73% no in the care amendment. Overwhelming. Like, that's a whopping no, no.
It is, yeah. And it is actually, it puts the executive, which is the government, and the legislature, the Dáil and the Seanad, in an invidious position.
Why?
Because they're the people we relied on to have a debate, to open up and so that people can discuss it. And if matters are discussed in the Dáil or the Seanad, there's privilege there, an absolute privilege. And you as a journalist have the right to report that to the people. Mm. But the government made the decision there will be no debate. There will be no debate. Now, I'm currently trying to find Michael D. Higgins's email address, and if I can't find it, I'll find his. I know where he lives. I'm sending him a letter to ask him to pull in the whole lot of them. The entire Dáil, Seanad, and every government minister, Taoiseach, the lot, and give them a dressing down because of the extent to which they confused the electorate, they stifled debate, they affected.
When you keep saying stifled debate, a constitutional coup, fair enough. Now, when you talk about stifling debate, you're saying stifling debate within the Dáil, where Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs were all told how they could vote and there was to be no discussion about it. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's needed. No, the Attorney General, I took a browse through it as well, and he did make the point that, and you hit it on the hit the nail on the head there when you talked about this durable relationship. But he also made the point that what they were putting into the proposal itself was the term durable relationships, which could have led to people being in several durable relationships and caused all sorts of confusion. I mean, a child in third or fourth class in primary school could put better English together than the whole state together.
And the Attorney General, in that kind of warning across, you know, the bowels of government, the Attorney General said that durable relationships could lead to all sorts of issues, and his words, including the example of polygamous relationships included in it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He said, like, he can't predict what the courts are doing or will do in the future, so he had to give warning, and that was warning enough back in December. So they had plenty of notice, and they still put their heads down and persisted. And, I mean, I'm embarrassed for the Fianna Fáil TDs who are going to have to go to doors now and look for votes. And the people say to them, well, why did you not talk to me about this? Or why did you stay silent on that? Are you a lapdog? And the same will apply in Sinn Féin, and I believe Sinn Féin supporters are very, very upset. Because their job is to provide, they could have forced the debate.
But the reaction that I see is that certainly ministers are maybe trying to shift the blame away to the public's lack of understanding, as if, like, it's the public's fault, they just didn't understand.
The public understood perfectly well that these boys were up to no good. Now, I will say, quite honestly and openly, 99% of all the people who voted yes or no want carers looked after in a much better way. And knowing that, these boys could have put together a wording that would have facilitated that. And in relation to taking out the mother, there was no need. Just add in the father. Add in the other parent, whatever. You don't have to be trying to pull a fast one on people, because that's what they were doing. And they all did it together. And that is where a parliament... Really, there should be a general election within a couple of weeks, but I don't know what the people stand for. But really, the people have expressed no confidence in the Oireachtas.
There was someone who thought, and I would have thought maybe at a pip, that it would be kind of yes and no, that people would change on vote yes to family if it maybe wasn't for durable relationships, because many people would want to acknowledge that they are very happy loving relationships outside marriage. But yet people still resoundedly, like nearly 68% of people, voted no.
And it's the worst of the relationships that caused that. And they knew it. They had the advice from the Attorney General that was doubtful. Yes, they persisted. They should all hang their heads in shame. They should be coming out in front of the people and apologising. All of them. Now, I'm not going to name names. I'm not into that. But the entirety of the Oireachtas, apart from the President, should come out and apologise.
Okay. Appreciate it, Tim. As always, Tim Brosnan, your thoughts are welcome. Text 0868104106. Keith Walsh is family lawyer, advocated for a yes, yes. I'm quite sure very disappointed with the results at the weekend. Keith, good morning.
Good morning to you, Neil. How are you?
I'm good, but, I mean, disappointed for sure, but such a landslide. I mean, it was a real whopping for the Yes campaign, wasn't it?
It really was. It was a real wallop, as I think Leo Varadkar said. My own sense of it is that I slightly disagree with Tim in that I don't think people fully understood what they were voting for, and I think because of that lack of clarity, people quite rationally said, I don't understand exactly what the changes will be if I vote yes or if I vote no. So I'm going to vote no because I don't want to do something that might damage the Constitution. So I think it was a vote of, if you like, the satisfaction or the reassurance I would get is that people certainly take their duty to vote and to change the Constitution very seriously. And I think unless they're very clear about the benefit or the downside of what they're doing, they're not going to make any changes. So while I am disappointed with that, I am disappointed with the lack of, the loss of an opportunity to make changes that I thought were necessary. I do think it wasn't clear enough in retrospect. I think I agree with Tim that there was a lack of Parliament being allowed to do its job, which is to scrutinise legislation or proposed amendments. And I think a bit of debate around the wording, not when it's already cast in the referendum, but before then, may have helped us to get these provisions through. But I think the way it has been done, it has been very regrettable.
Well, can I ask you about the Attorney General's letter, though? I mean, you're of a legal mind. Should that have been made public, or who would have known? I mean, it was leaked by the ditch, but there it was, with the Attorney General saying, you will observe that the plural phrase durable relationships is in the draft, it could be argued, for example, polygamous relationships being included. And the other one then, with regards to the use of the word strive, there's a lack of guidance from the courts on how the word strive could well be interpreted. So the warnings were there all along before, and there was probably plenty time. Was there plenty time to fix that?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't think the Attorney General's advice it doesn't have the force of law. It's only an opinion, and it's only one lawyer's opinion. And I think the publication of it earlier on may only have led to further disagreements between lawyers. What we saw is huge differences between the lawyers' interpretations of the Constitution. You had academics on one side saying this is what durable relationships mean. You had Michael McDougall on another side. You had family law solicitors like me saying something similar but slightly different. There was a whole disagreement about it. So I think my own view is I'm not necessarily saying the Attorney General's advice should be published, but perhaps on reading the advice, people should have taken a bit more notice of it and thought, you know what, maybe we should change, we should clarify what durable relationships mean. But the other thing I'd say is people this morning were saying, and there was somebody on the radio who was saying, look, we should never pass any referendum that's not 100% clear as to exactly what everything means. Mm. A constitution by its nature has to be vague and subject to interpretation and to change. So I think we're never going to get a perfect wording, and I wouldn't like to focus on the wording. I think what we should have focused more on is on the effect. Mm. So we may not know exactly what durable relationships are, but we should have been able to say, well, look, it's either just a man and a woman and a child, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man and children, or does it include grandparents, or does it include uncles and aunts? I think we could have got the clarity that we needed in durable relationships had the work been done in advance. And for example, had draft legislation been prepared to say, well, look, if you pass this referendum, this is what durable relationships is going to mean, and here's the law that says what they are. And if that could have been done, that would have been a great help to people, I think.
So it was plural, wasn't it? Durable relationships.
Well, I think at the bottom of page 2 of his advices, he refers to whether founded on marriage or other durable relationships. That can be viewed in a number of different ways. Currently at the minute, under the current law, if you're a cohabitant, which means somebody who lives with another person in an intimate relationship, if you have children, you can be a qualified cohabitant within 2 years and look for rights at the end of the relationship. Or if you have no children, it's 5 years. But that's under the law at the minute. You can be a qualified cohabitant even though you're still married, provided you've been living separate and apart for your wife from or husband for at least 2 years. So out of the last 3. So at the minute, you're capable of being in two relationships that cause legal consequences to arise. So you could end up paying maintenance, for example, from the children of your first relationship and your second, or your marriage and your cohabitant, or you could end up paying compensation or money to.
No,
so that's already there. But I mean, in terms of durable relationships.
My point. It wasn't even a durable relationship. It was durable relationships, plural, which I know we spoke about polygamy and things like that, but that was a worry for people.
Well, I don't view it like that because I.
But a number of marriages in another country who comes here and has more than one wife.
But that's not recognised in our law already. So it's not.
Which the Constitution trumps the law, doesn't it?
It does, but it the Constitution has to be interpreted in light of the laws already in place. And again, one of the laws in place that wasn't going to be changed by the Constitution was to say that the Constitution is going to protect the institution of marriage. It didn't downgrade the institution of marriage. What it did is it recognised other relationships being part of family. So, if you like, there are two different institutions here, or units. There's the family unit, and then there's marriage. And again, there's a kind of a complexity to that. I don't think that was necessarily well explained during the campaign, and I think it's still very confusing, and I'm probably confusing people who are listening on the radio at the minute, so I'm going to stop on that.
You said the real issue is you even had lawyers who were in touch that were confused.
I think there were many people who were confused by it, and including lawyers and including people who thought they got their head around it. But once you got into it and thought about it, I think once you got to the voting booth, you thought, you know what, I'm just not clear enough.
I'm not clear enough. And but that's wise advice, though, if some people aren't sure, isn't it?
Well, no, and in retrospect, it was an entirely rational thing for people to do. And I mean, I was out there and I took part in debates and other things on durable relationships, and I gave my view of how I thought it would be interpreted. But again, that was only my advice, and I was debating against academics or other lawyers or people on the no side. And again, people could hear those debates, but there was so much debate and so much over and back and so much lack of clarity that people thought, well, look, if I listen to somebody one day, they're saying this, someone else is saying something else, Michael McDougall is saying this. And I think, but I mean, one clear thing that came out of this is I think certainly the no voters, the no people were very clear on their message. And Michael McDougall and Brenda Power in particular did incredibly well in terms of delivering that message. And again, without them, the vote may not have gone that way. And again, maybe the government could have come out a lot more and supported the yes vote and made it clearer. But I go back to the free legislative scrutiny, which I agree with Tim, your previous caller, on. I think Parliament has a job and it should be allowed to do their job. And I think really looking at ramming legislation or referendums through without the agreement before they go to the people is definitely not the way to do it. And I hope we learn from this for the next one, which is the patent one, which is going to be on the patent referendum, which is going to be on the same day as the Europeans and the locals. I think we need a lot of information about that, and we need a lot more clarity and simple information, you know.
I never saw one as divisive as this one, though, not in a long, long time. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate you taking the call. Keith Walsh, family lawyer. Meanwhile, there are those who want the referendums rerun because they were confusing and complicated, but I don't believe in them, says Richie. Friday's referendums were not confusing. They were not complicated. Your government lied to you. It couldn't be simpler. Those who want the referendums rerun do so, not because they believe the people were confused, but because they believe they did not get the result they wanted. If we changed not one iota of the campaign and a yes vote was returned, would these same people still want the referendum rerun? No. After all, surely the people would be no less confused. I don't know that anybody... No, actually, I haven't seen it anywhere where people are saying we need to rerun this again like Lisbon. That may change in the coming days, I don't know. But to WhatsApp, Liam, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Thanks for holding.
May I first... Yes, may I first compliment you on your knowledge of the referendum. And you had a solicitor lawyer on there a few minutes ago. I think his name was Keith.
Yeah.
And I have to totally disagree with him. And that's not the reason I'm on the phone at the moment. My contact with you guys was over an hour ago, so I hadn't heard Keith then. But one of the statements he says was the Attorney General was wrong. And I used the word wrong. Okay, so we'll just leave it at that. And then he's also said that McDougall...
Not quite sure. I'm not quite sure he said that, to be honest with you, but I won't revisit that.
Well,
the point I was making was that the Constitution trumps law. And if the Constitution trumps law... then you really want to get a good judge in your favour because, the Constitution rules. And if it's durable relationships, plural, that's the Constitution saying that.
Yes, it is. And normally we, the people of Ireland, take the advice of the Attorney General is the most highest and the government equally so. But the reason that Neil and myself are talking is about a text that I sent in to you guys a couple of hours ago.
Okay.
And that's in a personal relationship. And I can only talk about that, a personal relationship. I'm a farmer. And in this coincidence, that it's my daughter that will inherit the farm. And the reason she'll inherit the farm is because she's totally obsessed with farming, loves animals, loves everything about farming. My son, on the other hand, and a lovely chap that he is only interested in computers and always has been. And, like, that's fair enough. I have to respect that. But the thing about it is my son works in what they call a wholesale, and he works with another person who is actually... recently engaged to my daughter. Now, my daughter has not alone run the farm, but she's doing up the old farmhouse as well with her own money. But we're celebrating.
And she's worked the farm from a very, very young age, feeding calves.
Neil, from from the age of three, Neil, she was obsessed with animals. And that's a good thing. To be good and obsessed with animals is a great thing, okay. You know, because that shows respect.
So but she was always interested. But where is there an issue? I mean, this is a farm that's been farmed for four generations, always passed down to the eldest son. Is that the way it works?
It's always passed down to the son. Coincidentally, I'm not the eldest son, but it always passed down to the eldest son traditionally. But I think in latter years, parents have come to the conclusion that those that have a passion for farming, and that too can change and respect, because you know, back in rural Ireland, often a son was sent into the priesthood, and he may well have been the oldest son, so he couldn't very well inherit the farm. But I have to come back to my own situation in that just before the referendum, they were celebrating their engagement, and a little bit of alcohol got in the way, and a comment was made by which would now come to be my son-in-law in time, and a lovely chap he has, and he has a child with my daughter, and we absolutely dote on the child. We love the child.
I'm just getting a little bit worried now that this is getting way too personal with regards to third-party conversations that you've had, and I'm not 100% sure that you should go down that route, you know?
Okay, so we'll leave it at that.
Whatever was said, particularly with a few jars on board, let it remain private. So I'm just talking in general terms, just hypothetically.
Okay, in general terms, the text I sent in to you was that I didn't my vote of no and no wasn't a vote against the government. My vote on no and no was the fact that the word durable had no time frame, and that was worrying, because I don't know whether durable means a 3-month relationship, a 3-year relationship, or what. And you hit the nail on the head, because you used the word relationships, which is plural, as you rightly pointed out. That, for me, I voted no.
Yeah.
I just...
Okay, but that's just the family amendment. Did you vote no, no? Did you vote no as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the reason I voted no on the carers situation was I found the government at the moment have been disrespectful to a lot of carers. And an example was given to me by my neighbour, and as you rightly pointed out, please don't go personal, but the fact I'm not mentioning a name or anything like that, and you know, I mean, this person doesn't mind, but this person is an aged person, and their son recently was in an accident, right? That at the moment, the parent is now the carer for that, because the only person of only one child. What happens when that parent gets the, you know, 80, 90 years of age? Are they still going to be the carer of that child?
And that was a huge worry for many people when they saw the state.
Well, that was a worry for us.
That
was a worry for us.
Of the family, yeah, to one another. Yeah, yeah. It took the state out of both of the articles and replaced it with the word family.
And equally, you know, I mean, they had the word strive. That's interpretive.
Yeah.
Your solicitor was on earlier. He gave an opinion. But it's only an opinion.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's right. And equally so, McDougall gave an explanation, which is slightly different.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, Neil, you really hit the nail on the head this morning with that solicitor, and I'm proud of you for doing that.
Okay, appreciate it, and thank you for taking the call. Do appreciate it, Liam, who voted no-no, staggering no-no in both referendums. And we spoke in the past, of course, with the independent senator, Ronan Mullen. I saw him on Saturday, I think. Was it Dublin? Were you in Dublin Castle when I saw you on the TV with Miriam Ronan, was it?
I was, Neil.
I tell you what, it was very, very quiet there. Is it that the Yes campaign, all of it?
Tumbleweed.
What was it? They just didn't show up, no?
That's it. You could see the tumbleweed blowing across the square of Dublin Castle. In fairness, there were one or two government spokespeople in the earlier part of the evening, but they had all vanished by the time the results were declared.
How come none seem to be a bit available for media? Have they been instructed to stay off the airwaves and not talk to papers?
Yeah. I don't know. I've just done an interview on RTE with a Fine Gael Senator, Mary Seary Carney, but no sign of government people. And you know, I hope this doesn't mean, like, you'd like to at least hear them come out and say, we are going to reflect on what this means for the way we're governing people, the way we're communicating with people, people's perception of the agenda that's driving us, and what the no vote means. Because it means a lot of things, but it certainly was an affirmation by people that, you know, they didn't like the idea of mothers being taken out of the Constitution. They didn't like that there was so little an offer for carers. They didn't like that that was being linked with getting rid of mothers from the Constitution. And there's a vote in there that says, actually, you know, marriage matters in our society too, we respect everybody.
Okay, why did you use the words, your words on TV Saturday, that they were arrogant?
Because the way they drove the referendum showed, I mean, if you look at what's going on here, you have a dominant Fine Gael, progressive, liberal, middle class type of government with Micheál Martin, who finds it hard to show his contempt, it seems to me, for the more traditional wing of his own party, enabling a kind of an ideological wing of Greens to get as much as they can through in the remaining months that this government has in office. So that's why you have your hate speech legislation, that's why you have all this gender stuff being pushed in schools, we have controversial legislation on surrogacy coming up, and no real proper consultation or discussion with ordinary people across society about
all these. Are you saying, I mean, you have no axe to grind, you're independent. You said that Micheál Martin, where's the effect that he has lost touch with the real ground roots of Fianna Fáil, that he's too left and too liberal, is it? Moving too fast to modernise Ireland.
Micheál Martin has been chasing a certain vote that I wonder if it's actually there for them. You know, it's that kind of liberal vote, and you saw it in kind of the about turns in recent years on abortion and other issues. You had Lisa Chambers, their European candidate in Midlands Northwest, coming out saying today that she voted no, and on the motherhood point. Just the way Micheál Martin treated, you know, Maria Steen in debate, I just think there is a kind of a high level of government government that doesn't actually get that there's an awful lot of people in the country still who have basically sensible ideas about the way we should organise our society, and that motherhood has a particular role and value that shouldn't be dishonoured, while obviously fathers and have important.
But what kind of message does that put out? No, I respect that, and somebody has to do the rearing, and I get all of that. But what kind of a word? What kind of a message goes out overseas, and people look at that, and they look at the constitution as it exists, where it says the state recognises that by her life within the home, a woman gives the state support, etc., and that she should not be obliged by economic necessity to neglect it, to engage in labour, to the neglect of their duties in the home. When they read that, and that will stay in the constitution, what kind of an image would they have of Ireland when they read that? Women's places in the home? Really?
Well, it doesn't say a woman's place is in the home, and it all depends on.
No, I'm saying no. I know it doesn't say that, but I'm saying, will they interpret it as that?
Well, they will if that's what they're told by their governing elites in media and in politics. But I think what the Irish people have done is they've said, actually, this has value. Now, they have said marriage has value. The link between marriage and family has value. So the job for the government is now to reflect on that. Say, okay, how do we put meaning on that? And how do we communicate that among ourselves and to the world? You know, you can respect all families while also saying, but you know what, marriage has a particular social function that gives stability, etc. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed of having that discussion. This government is ashamed of that discussion, and a lot of in the mainstream media are ashamed. And that has been one of the liberating aspects. I mean, there's good and bad to the new social media reality that we live in. But we have seen the emergence of the citizen journalist, if you like, and the citizen politician. And to some degree, that has helped greatly in holding, you know, power to account. But what we did see with this referendum was a rushed proposal. It had gender ideology behind it. Why else would they be getting rid of the word mother when they could have just positively put in the word father? They wanted to dilute the importance of marriage. There's ideology there too, because they
that's not true. The state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage on which the family is founded. It's there.
All they've left is the hollow husk there, because there's actually no incentive.
So what about the 42% of children who are being left behind in very loving homes that are not marriage?
Well, the two things I would say to that is, first of all, thankfully, they are always given their rights. And we saw that in the O'Mara case, where the constitution is so flexible there. You saw a non-marital couple, the widower's pension still applied because of the fundamental equality of children. Secondly, I had no problem with, and would have no problem, in fact, I had an amendment down that would have given some recognition to non-marital families. But it doesn't have to be done at the cost of keeping a positive social message that marriage has a particular benefit for society. There's lots of social science and evidence to show that. We just need the government now to show a little bit of humility and start reflecting on what the people have said, and think about the way they're governing us, and look at some of these issues, and let's have a broader discussion on these issues.
Are they completely and utterly out of touch with the Irish people?
When only 6% of people in Donegal went out and voted yes, I think you'd have to say, somebody said there was politicians out during the week looking for a no vote, looking for a yes vote, and they're still looking for it.
Thank you, Ronan, as always. Independent Senator Ronan Mullen. Text 0868104106. We're back after 11.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Friendly Cillian Murphy over the Oscars. There was such excitement, and there was a great buzz there, and everybody was celebrating the win and everything. He turned some and he said, "It's a bit like Italian 90, isn't it? How bad?" Well, he didn't say how bad. "It's a bit like Italian 90, isn't it?" You can't take the cork out of the boy. And, of course, we're heading into a long weekend, a bank holiday weekend, the St. Patrick's weekend, and your opportunity to win a €300 prize every single day. And when I say prize, it's €300 cash to spend as you will, courtesy of ourselves and carry out off licenses. So we talk about St. Patrick, right? And we'll talk more as we head into the rest of the week and count down to the holiday weekend and St. Patrick's weekend. But one of the things, of course, that he's purported to have done was to drive the snakes out of Ireland. Some would suggest there's a few of them left. But if he did drive the snakes out of Ireland, he did us a favour, didn't he? But I suppose, you know, did you ever hear the term, he's very snaky or she's very snaky? Let's see if we can have some fun with this. Get you to share a story about a snaky friend the funnier or the snakier or sneakier the story, the better, to celebrate St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland. We're looking for the snakes in your life, the snaky, sneaky people and what they did to you. So text on that, text 0868104106. You can email neil@redfm.ie. As we get you ready for the St. Patrick's Day weekend, it's a great prize, courtesy of ourselves and Carry Out Off Licences. They're available online. You can get all the details of what they're selling at carryout.ie. This is over 18s only, lads, as always. But you can spend the money on whatever you want, €300 every single day. So get your sneaky, snaky stories coming. Text 0868 104 106. And it's the Monday Munchies back again, which is great. We've teamed up with Luso out in Ballincollig. For those of you that love cakes and love chocolate and love handmade delicious treats, we will send you a big box this lunchtime of goodies from Luso in Ballincollig. You need to tell us who you are and where you are. And I know I meant to do the shout outs before 11, but there's still plenty of time. So big Monday Munchie shout outs to everybody at the CDYS Youth Centre in Middleton. They'd love some Monday Munchies. Morning to Tracy. To everybody at Sweet 24 in the Cork Clinic, working very hard. They need of sweet treats to get them through the day. Morning to Lisa P, Sharon, Grace and Lisa M. We all need the sugar to get us set up for a mental week of racing ahead in Cheltenham. So says Maria in Ladbrokes in Blarney. You can't beat Cheltenham, giddy up. Some more shout outs to everybody at Pro Photonics who were listening this morning, including Robert and all of the clean room crew. South Infirmary Pharmacy Department would love some sweet treats to boost them for the week ahead. Lydia and all of the staff in Compuland are listening. ML Scaffolding are working with Mernan and O'Shea and Ballincollig, and they'd love a good feed of hungry workers out there. Get the kettle on. To everybody at Route 14 Bar and Restaurant in Toker, would like a Monday pick me up. I'm hearing great things about the food out there, incidentally. So good morning to Lisa and to Sonia. Some goodies, please, for all of the staff at Play Blue on Carey's Lane, particularly Amanda Sawani and all of the staff, and just another few, Connor and the gang in O'Sullivan's Pharmacy in Grange. The Cove YMCA are cooking breakfast for the students this morning while they're busy learning in the classroom. That sounds ideal to me. To Brendan and the porters at the South Infirmary, morning to you all. And a final one. If we could win, and I'd love you to give a big shout out to Lorraine and her staff at Fleming's Pharmacy on the Douglas Road. If we win, we'd love to share this amazing prize with our neighbours, Tesco Express, and hand out a few lovely cakes to our amazing customers too. So I'll do some more shout outs this side of midday. So text who you are and where you are to 0868104106. Monday Munchies are back in association with Luso of Ballincollig. And everybody loves a treat and beautiful chocolate brownies, peanut butter slices, caramel shortbreads, buttery Viennese swirls, lovely Belgian chocolate Easter treats as well. So a lot to look forward to. Text 0868104106. We'll do more shout-outs in about a half an hour.
Call Neil now. 0818104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I suppose many people would say that it was about either the dilution of the words marriage, the dilution of the word marriage, and the deletion of the words mother really got people's ire going. I saw an interesting text this morning from Hillary, who says mothers are not children's carers. Mothers are their children's mothers. Only mothers can be pregnant. Only mothers can give birth. Only mothers can breastfeed. Mothers are the natural nourishers of moral values, and fathers are the natural protectors of those values. Nothing and no one can be anyone's mother. Nothing can replace a mother's love. Mothers should not be forced to work outside the home for economic reasons, nor should wives or widows or abandoned divorced wives and mothers. Why can't fathers and family carers and childminders have their own separate status in the Constitution? So it was about mothers and it was about marriage, really, wasn't it? And I know the words durable relationships upset people, and so did the term strive. We shall strive, because you can strive and indeed you can fail. Listening to the politicians passing the buck on the referendum results reminds me of rats sinking, deserting a sinking ship, says Paddy. Neil, there was a lot of revenge voting done. Don't kid yourself. People are sick to death of this government. They want them gone. It was no to strive, no to removing mother, no to cost of living, no to open borders, no to the waste of 23 million to have the referendum. The only yes is that, yes, we don't trust the government. It's interesting, actually, if you were to think about this now, For some would say it was a completely wasted exercise. And if that were the case, think about what the 23 million, and it could climb further closer to 30 million, could actually have been spent that would actually make a difference in people's lives. Anyway, that's just a selection of texts because there are many. I wonder how much of it was a protest vote in that regard. But I'm happy to continue with this text. I'm not going to spend the rest of the morning talking about it, but I'll delve back into it depending on the calls and texts we get in the coming days. But rats deserting a stinking ship, I nearly said. I don't know, that's not too far from the truth sometimes as well, isn't it? Can I get back to the phone lines? Councillor Paddy Dineen was on air recently as well, talking on this topic, and very much no. Paddy, your update on this? The people have at last stood together in defiance. So would you call this a protest vote then?
I would. Yes. I certainly would. I do believe the people in this country are very, very unhappy with the government. They're very unhappy with government policies, and they have finally stood up together and voted as one. I am absolutely delighted this morning.
But I mean, that's quite alarming. If, for instance, things that maybe needed to be corrected, in spite of the bad wording and everything, that they would use it as an opportunity to show their distrust in the government, as opposed to exercising their democratic right to vote on things that matter to people.
Well, I would think the people went there with a very positive mind and how they were going to vote regarding what you were saying about the wording and how confusing everything was. But I think also, like, the reason we had such a high turnout, which wasn't expected, is that people were just unhappy and it was their way of speaking. Then you voted your voice and they've spoken, and it's like they have said, they've told the government, we're not happy with you guys and you need to get your act together.
Roland Mullen, the senator, would sum up his conversation with me regarding Fianna Fáil, is that Micheál Martin and some of the ministers have just gone too left and too woke.
I think they bowed to Europe too much. They forget to look after the Irish people. They forget to look after our country. Like, their policies are pro-EU as opposed to pro-Ireland, in my view. I really do think that. And I think that the confusion that they caused was immense also. Like, the wording was incorrect. They were told this. They didn't listen. They went ahead anyway, and they pushed for this, and they failed. And I think, as you know, the constitution that we have, like, that's your bedrock. That's what makes your country. That's what your people are. You cannot have amendments which can be misinterpreted by a court, which then sets a precedent.
As a court can decide. And the worry for people was that somebody might decide somewhere down the track that carers were family members and family members only, and that would divest the government of responsibility to helping with that caring. Isn't that right? That was a worry of people.
Yes, and they should, and like, all this can be done legislatively if they so wished. Like, they can put in legislation to help carers, to put the funding in place, to put the budgets there, but they don't. They fail every time. They fail every time.
And they removed the word state. And they removed the word state. People aren't stupid. Like, I mean, time after time, I was getting texts. Another one here in front of me. I got no information leaflet on what the voting is about. I'm here in Blackpool, and they're referencing the booklet that was sent out by the Electoral Commission. And I have to say that I used that over the past couple of weeks, every single day on air. You know, the booklet, the colour booklet that was sent out. It said everything you needed to know. But if people didn't get it, that's scandalous, like, that 20-odd million could be spent and people didn't get the booklet explaining it.
Yeah, I've heard that many didn't get the booklet, and many didn't get polling cards.
Yeah, that happens also, with the polling cards. Yeah.
Many didn't get polling cards either. So it was like, it was all rushed. It was too rushed. It was ill-taught, and the people responded accordingly, and I'm delighted with them all.
I would hate to think that it was intentional that people didn't get the independent referendum guide, because it really was powerfully laid out. I mean, anyone could follow the proposals if you got that booklet. I know I'm harboring on the point, but it just seems like as if it was chaotic, you know?
Yeah, but still confusing at the same time. It didn't explain. Like, it wasn't going to make it any better anyway regarding the wording. The wording was there. That was it. and that's why people would confuse people. And well, they weren't happy. It didn't sit right with anybody. It didn't sit right with me. And we voted accordingly. And as I say, we can always come back at this at another stage and do it better.
Oh, I don't know that they'll ever. I don't know that they'll ever. No, this government won't. I don't think they'll ever revisit this again, to be quite honest with you. I mean, like, they're so out of touch. 73% voted no to the care amendment. 68% voted no to the family amendment.
Yes, that's what I said. They're so out of touch. They're more in touch with Europe than they are with Ireland themselves, with us, with the people. I feel that.
Okay. Okay, can I just ask you, because I'm revisiting Noonan's Road and St Finbar's Road. Seamus Whelan was up there recently, 8 months after we were there. There have been some people relocated, but he took a walk with William O'Brien, the community activist, and it's still in a shocking state, you know. Is there any actual work being done up in the area? You're chair of the local committee.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I couldn't get back to you last week about this because I was otherwise engaged. I am chair of the local committee, and what we've done as the committee is that we have put Noonan's Road on. We have a local area committee. We meet every month, and we have been successful in putting Noonan's Road as an agenda item at our meetings. So we get updates every month now on Noonan's Road, what's happening, what the plan is, etc. And while a lot has been done, I know there is more to be done without doubt.
I'll give you some examples of what we'll hear in the audio in a minute. Some of the apartments are being used as squats, some of them being used as drug dens. Some students from the area are discarding their rubbish in the back gardens, which is also attracting more rats. It sounds to me as if, apart from moving out some people, it's just kind of stalled.
No, it hasn't stalled per se, but it may well have slowed down a bit, but it certainly hasn't stalled. And I do know that when we're waiting for a meeting to be held now with the final report on what's going to be happening. But work is ongoing, and what I can say to any of the residents, if they have concerns, bring it to our attention. Because we meet with the officials now every month on Noonan's Road, and we are watching it, you know.
But has any work been done at all to any of the actual flats themselves?
Internally, I'm not sure.
No, I think the answer to that is no.
I'm unsure. I need to speak to residents about that.
Yeah.
But I do know that the designated team from City Council that have been calling to the doors, have been inquiring with the people themselves on a one-to-one basis and dealing with situations as they occur. But I do know that many have now been transferred out and are all very happy now to be living elsewhere.
Yeah, 28 have been relocated, but 30 still remain, you know. So I'm going to play the audio after the break. Perhaps you might have a listen to it and we could chat with it again at a later date.
No, yes, no problem. But we do have it as an agenda item on our monthly at our monthly meetings now. So if any residents have any issues, bring it to work. Just give us a ring. Let us know and we will raise it for them directly with the officials at the meeting then.
Okay, Councillor Paddy Dineen, thank you for that. We got audio from the area next.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Talking about how bad, we have Aslan starting the week off for us live in studio before midday, and we have the Frankenwalters finishing the week off for us on Friday. How bad is right? But I just want to return to that. One of the individuals who brought this to our original attention with regards to Noonan's Road and areas around there was the independent local community activist William O'Brien, and he's standing in the local elections, incidentally. But this is about 8 months ago, right? So 8 months later, Seamus decided to go back and hook up again with William and do another walk around in the general area.
The housing agency in Dublin probably need to come down to Cork and see what's gone wrong. Councillors are doing their best within the system, you know, the budgets, it all comes down to money is what we're hearing. We can't do this because we don't have the money. But then when the money is going back into these communities, the workmanship isn't great.
Quite honest with you, I have the majority of my vents closed up and everything inside because of the coldness that's coming through it, because the vents are even broke as well, like, you know. So you can't, like, you have no access of, like, keeping it closed or keeping it open or one way or the other, like, you know. But at the end of the day, as I can just say for myself personally, I think I'm being neglected.
The phones are ornaments. They don't answer them. Don't answer an email. They don't. He even knows that himself. He can't get through to no one. He can't get through to anybody.
And the people that have moved out, have you spoken to any of those?
I've seen a few of them. Some of them said that they went too fast and they don't like where they've gone to.
Okay.
So, but at least the people with the babies and the kids and that, they're out of here. Thank God for that. I mean, I can put up with it. I don't like putting up with it, but I can. It's not fair.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't wish that on kids.
What apartments are these?
No, because we've been to Ford Street, we've been to Noonan's Road.
Chefin Bell Road.
The balconies look in a better condition anyway.
Yeah, but see, I live now. They're all idle.
Yeah.
There's people coming in, they're throwing rubbish out their back. You see my back down, my back is perfect. But underneath, I got that blocked up for 2 years ago. They never done my house. After 2 years, I have windows up there, they're fine now. They came up, they blocked all the doors. Blocked that. Put a latch in that lock. Scared of that. Huh? There's rats. Unbelievable. And that's been answered.
And that's why you live for a while,
aren't you? Oh, jeez. I said differently. That's 4 years, 5 years.
In a housing crisis?
Yeah. And the corner went in, he died as well.
But what's happening over here when they're squatting?
Drugs?
Like what sort of drugs would be going on in there?
You name it, boy. They take anything, sir. Yeah. I'm here 60 years, like. I've born right around the corner there. That's me also, house up around the corner. Crazy. What's going on here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9, 9.
What has happened since the last time we spoke?
Not much really, besides William trying to help us all as best he can. My flat is still freezing. It always will be. After 25 years with no insulation and old windows. And the storm the other night actually blew down the gates from my neighbor's garden. And that is dangerous. The gates to the staircases aren't locked either. Okay. And people gather there drinking and doing... well, antisocial stuff. I live there by myself, you know.
That's scary stuff for you.
It is scary, and I love the area.
I've been told that council aren't even responding to you now, 12 weeks on.
Yes.
With all the promises they made.
That's correct, yes.
And how does that make you feel?
Unseen. I'm not being seen. Invisible.
It's very upsetting.
It is, yes. I just thought that I would get a warm home. That's all I hope for. Mm.
And all those doctor's notes and specialist notes?
No. Nothing. Like, if I knew I would get a really good home, I would hang on, you know, for a couple of months. But it's true. It's so cold again now, and I had Guillain-Barré syndrome. I was paralyzed from head to toe 15 years ago, so my health isn't best. I need to be warm at all times.
So how are you sleeping at night in this cold? Like, it's freezing down, it's going to get colder.
In the cold, about 5 duvets, 5 layers of clothes. I need the heating on at night time. Because the draft from the windows is incredible. Actually, a friend of mine noticed the other day that wherever in my flat I sit, I'm always in a draft. Always.
So sorry.
Thank you.
Like, nobody should have to live in these conditions and single glazed windows this day and age.
I got a walk-in shower and central heating when I came out of hospital. Otherwise, nothing has changed since 1999 when I moved in my flat.
I'm so sorry, I don't know what to say.
Silence is golden.
We just need to keep raising it and keep pushing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
you're the forgotten.
Yes, unfortunately, because it's a great community and it's a great area. It's close to town. Yeah.
But if it was maintained all these years, we would be in this situation, would we?
I don't think so, no. Maintained in the sense that people have insulation and windows that are not drafty, which I thought was a basic human right. No, for me it's like a luxury.
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't be this far, no.
And then all the money they're getting rent-wise?
Oh, yes.
I know the council, they're mandated to check all private properties in the city area. And they hire a company to actually go out and check. Yet, it's the city council doing that are the slum landlords.
Yeah.
They promised that the repairs and maintenance would be done. So some of the work was completed, right? So some of the chimneys were replastered. Some of them were removed, as you can see this one is missing from this area. But some of the repairs that were done, they weren't done correctly. And water is still getting into people's homes. And I met a woman yesterday at the school, and she told me that she said it's very frustrating that they won't answer my emails or calls. She said the water's still coming in.
But who's responsible once a job is done? Who's responsible for signing off and checking that everything was above board and done correctly?
Well, I suppose the contractors that are, you know, lucky to get the work from the council should be completing the works to a high standard, because, you know, they're being paid top money, in my eyes, to do this work to regenerate and repair homes. But there seems to be a lot of snags afterwards, and I think that's showing that it's like it's good enough for council tenants, and that's what I'm hearing. It's like that's all we can give you.
A council engineer come and check the works and sign off on it before that contractor is paid for the works that they've done, or do they just take it that the work is done and it looks grand?
You take them for granted. Yeah, that's what's happening, because people aren't happy with the quality of work that's being given to them as tenants. Because if someone says that the roof is leaking after the workers have been carried out, that's a bad reflection on that company and a bad reflection on the landlord, because the landlord then is not following up, because the contractor's gone from this area, the scaffolding is done, and they've moved on to other work. And it's just like take it or leave it. You know, this is the standards that the local authority tenants have to put up with for years. There's one lady up the road, she said they came out to do work to dry line a wall in her bedroom, and it took 6 weeks to do just that one job. 6 weeks opening the door every morning to workers saying we have to do another bit today.
Let me just update there with William, actually joins me briefly. William, good morning.
Morning, Neil.
All right, so woman there saying they feel unseen, they feel as if they're invisible. Others, you included, referencing shoddy work, 6 weeks to dry line a wall. Like, this seems like chaos to me. I mean, like, but I think you said in the audio that local councillors are doing the best they can, really?
They are, Neil. As he said, I know a lot of the councillors and I met them down through the years, and they've all tried to do their best in these housing estates, right? But what's happened is that they make representation after representation after representation, Neil. And you know the difficulty yourself with trying to get engagement with city council.
Impossible.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
So we can't be knocking the councillors, Neil, because they've built up relationships with people there, and they've made, like, there's even other councillors from other wards have come to Noonan's Road. They've come from Torker and from Knockinheeny to support the residents there. And they've been unseen and invisible for years. But one thing I'd like to note, Neil, is that with all the community support for Noonan's Road, the tenants have become empowered. They've took a stance and campaigned for human rights, you know. And
but it's not just Noonan's Road. It's Noonan's Road. It's Ford Street. It's St Finbar's Road. I'm hearing issues in Cherry Tree Road. What work has actually been done? I know they've moved out some of the residents. There's over 30 still remaining. You still have rats. You still have squats. You still have people having drink and drug parties in the area. Am I right?
Correct, Neil. When we met Seamus, we did a walkabout, and it was like the first time that himself and Cullen came up and did a walkabout, and before the councillors and the executive came up. It was, the grass was cut that time when everybody was coming up, and the grass hasn't been cut since. They got through a hard winter again in Noonan's Road, Ford Street, Dean Street.
So that's a bit of the photo opportunity for councillors and management, and then just forget about it after the media leave.
Exactly, but Neil, this is has knock-on implications for the whole local authority, because there's other departments in the local authority, you know. So, like, when this is highlighted, you know, it just shows that something's gone wrong. And the housing agency have said this for years. You know, they know that there's an inefficiency with management of local authority estates that haven't had money put into them for 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
You know, and the tenants have to bear the brunt of this.
Okay. And so this is just going to, this is going to drag on for quite some time then, is it? I mean, ultimately, is it a repair, or is it a repair and a refurb, or is it a demolition and a rebuild?
Well, from the councillor's point of view, it seems that there's a master plan, and that it's going to be—it's going to take time for everything to be knocked, Neil. But in the interim, people's health is our concern, because we feel that there's still a disadvantage there among the tenants of public housing estates. They're afraid to advocate for their tenant rights, and when they contact their councillors are making representation, and it looks bad on the councillor. But then we need the councillors to say, look, enough is enough. We need to get national government involved here, get the money down to all these local authority estates and start regenerating areas, but also have consideration, Neil, for the children and people with disabilities that are living in these flats. You know, Neil, it's difficult for everybody to get up on a daily basis. But when you're caring for a child with autism, or if you're caring for an elder person with disabilities, these people have to vacate these properties, Neil, and go to alternative accommodation. They can't lift furniture. I met one woman, Neil, in Ford Street. She's 78. Her place is like a palace. And she doesn't know where she's going. She's not getting emails. She's been ignored for months. You know, and she's only relying on a councillor that is probably dealing with, you know, a large amount of representation.
No, I mean, the idea here was this was urgent. It was on the front of the agenda with everybody within City Council, from the manager all the way down. But it doesn't seem to be delivered on. It's just appalling. It really and truly is. It's just appalling.
Yep.
Okay. I'll talk to you again. All right, Willie. I'll talk to you again on the matter, just to the pressures of time for now. But it's important to update. And unfortunately, there is really very little, if anything, to update at all 8 months later. Lines are open. You can text 0868 104 106. Some more shout outs then for everybody at Macaulay Pharmacy. Would love some free food. We got a Monday Munchies again today. Cork Plumbing and Toker Industrial Estate. And they would share with Bernard Dorgan Tires, Teamwear World, and DMB Electrical. They're all listening this morning at Ravenscourt Mental Health Services. Morning to Lorraine and Lisa, Amy and Jen, and to Kelsey and all the staff at PPL Biomechanics on the Tremor Road. The Donkey Sanctuary and Liz Carroll are listening. Everybody at the Bonsecour Care Village in Mount Desert, and Complete Upholstery Centre and Foam Services and Upholstery Accessories in Barrack Street. So, Luso Cork from Ballincollig will deliver, courtesy of the Red Patrollers, a big box of goodies. All sorts of delicious treats for those of you that love chocolate and cake. You have about 5 minutes now to get a final text in, and we'll pick a winner, and the Red Patrollers will deliver the Monday Munchies. Courtesy of ourselves and Luso. As I say, good morning and welcome back in studio. It's been far too long. The great Billy McGuinness from Aslan.
How are you, Neil? Thanks for having us in today.
It's great to have you back on Leaside. And why wouldn't you be on Leaside? It's where it all started.
Exactly. 1986, we played A Lark by the Lee. And since then, I think we've played every venue in Cork, from St Henry's to the Pav to the Opera
There's
House.
Fierce fondness
to the
Leaside.
Old Oak to the Brewery Tap. And I could stay here all morning and listening venues that we played.
And the upcoming gig will be Cypress Avenue. I know you say 86, but it all started in 82, 42 years ago.
1982 Aslan formed. Yeah, it's 42 years. It's a long
isn't
time.
Isn't it phenomenal?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
I mean, you're one of the hardest working bands ever imaginable.
Well, we're back at it now. We've had a bit of a break because we haven't worked in a year and a half. As you know, Christy passed there last year.
Yeah.
So it's been but we're back. We're on a new chapter, a new journey, and we start. What a place to start.
I know, but a very sad 12 months. Sinead O'Connor goes, Shane McGowan goes. Awfully, awfully sad.
It is for music.
Christy goes.
For Irish music, yeah. We lost three legends last year. Yeah, we did, absolutely, you know. But we're just so looking forward to getting out. The songs are great. It's we've a new singer, Lee Tompkins.
Okay. He's got big boots to fill.
Well, Christy didn't wear boots. Look, he's doing his own thing. He's his own man. Yeah. He knows exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He's not trying to imitate Christy in any way. And the great thing about it is that every gig we do, Neil, will be a tribute to Christy. because everyone will be singing the Aslan songs. So they're singing along, they'll automatically remember Christy. But yeah, it's going to be very emotional.
It's right and proper that Aslan should continue, you know, for the music, for the band members. Were there ever any, I don't mean to be overly personal, but was it a conversation that was broached with Christy when he was unwell at any time? What were his thoughts?
No, we never spoke to Christy about him passing because you just don't have that conversation. Imagine like having a conversation with your relatives, you know, when you die, that conversation never took place, and it shouldn't either. Do you know what I mean? We just wanted to keep everything going, and you know, and look, he's gone now, so life goes on, music goes on.
And there was that pause, that respectable, dignified pause for that lengthy period of time after his passing, but now is the time to move the music on.
Absolutely. It's a year and a half since we gigged. It's time for us, you know. People say, you know, he's not dead a year, but how long is a respectable time to wait, you know, for a band? We're musicians, we've been doing this for 42 years, we need to get back out playing, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're on a tour around Ireland which starts on the 22nd in Cypress
Avenue. Do you enjoy it as much now?
Absolutely love it.
The bones not creaking of a morning getting out of bed.
No, it's what keeps us going, you know. What else are we going to do? Joe and Alan and Lee and the rest of the band, they're all in the next room. We're going to be performing for you in a while. But it's what we do, Neil. Do you know what I mean? It's what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
you
don't talk to me. Don't talk to me.
You love getting up in the morning.
I dread the day. But there always comes a time at some stage. But yeah, they'll wheel you in a wheelchair the way things are going.
Well, we're Ireland's answer to the Rolling Stones.
You're as fit as a butcher's dog, though.
Yeah. How it's the music.
Shape.
It's the music. Music that keeps me fit. Yeah.
Okay. Let's check in and see what you can do live in studio then, shall we?
Looking
Any
forward
chance
to
of
it.
Few tickets? We give away a few tickets?
Yeah, I think Denise, our manager, was on. I think there's three pairs of tickets.
There is three pairs of tickets for Aslan, who are playing Cypress Avenue on the 22nd of March. That's a great venue. That's going to be a sellout gig. Enjoy it.
Yeah, we will indeed. It's Cork. Can't go wrong.
You've never let us down in the past. Well done. Nice one. Let's get the band together, Billy McGuinness, and let's hear what you can do. They've got a new singer. Again, as no one can replicate the great Christy Dignam, but Lee Tompkins takes over on lead vocals. So we'll do that after the break. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. Some lovely, kind words been coming in all morning for Killian Murphy. We're talking about hopefully getting him the Freedom of the City, an honorary doctorate at UCC. Somebody else is suggesting Killian Murphy on his Oscar. Congratulations. The UN should ask him to become a UN peace ambassador. With his temperament, he would be an excellent ambassador if he had that time for things like that. And don't even talk to me about the great work of the Cork City Hospital Children's Club, particularly, and Susan says it so well. I would like to reiterate everything that your previous callers and texters said. John Looney and his amazing group of volunteers are simply incredible human beings. My son and daughter have serious medical conditions. They were lucky enough to be part of the group that travelled to Disneyland Paris 4 years ago. A special mention also to Christine Tobin, a nurse in the children's ward of the CUH, who nominated my children day one, and she's a volunteer on the trip again this year. That trip for my children was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I have no doubt it will be the same for the families who are there right now. Thank you, Susan. And so say all of us.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
And our phone lines are open on 0818104106. We have three sets of tickets for Aslan Live in Cypress Avenue, callers 9, 10 and 11. That gig will sell out, lads, so get on the phone. You want to win a pair of tickets as we go live to studio. Live in studio, Billy McGuinness, Lee Tompkins and all of the new lineup of Aslan in studio to play us out. So in your own time, Billy, my main man, take it away.
2, 3. You wanna do. You're 18 and you're old enough. Don't have to listen to you. No, you ain't no child no more. Now you're out there on your own. Said you ain't no child no more. Bet you're feeling all alone.
Tell me, do you feel that what's going on is real? Or what's really going on is just make-believe? Precious, so precious. The crowd, but there's no one there to catch us. No one. It's just games in your imagination. With some strange situations. Like diamonds in a gold mine. On the back street that made you feel fine. Tell me, do you feel that what's going on is real? Or what's really going on?
Oh my God, that is incredible. That is just so, so good. Well done, guys. Well done, every single one of you. And welcome to Aslan, Lee Tompkins, that boy can sing. And they are playing Cypress Avenue, March 22nd. We have winners. Oh my God, that's just goosebump stuff. That was incredible. Gerard Dwyer from Nutley Avenue in Mahon is going to the gig. Eileen Muldoon from Tower in Blarney is going. And Georgina Kremen and Grona Broher. And you can bring whoever you want with you because they're double tickets. That gig will sell out. Wow, what a talent. What a great band all these years later. Great to have them back. Aslan, new frontman Lee Tompkins and the great Billy McGuinness popping in to say hi. What a great way to finish the programme. And we'll finish the week, incidentally, with the Frankenwalters, who are masters of ceremony in charge of everything. They are leading up the St. Patrick's Parade on Lee Side, and they'll play us out at the end of the week. Between now and then, we got lots of music for you. As we get closer to the end of the week, like Thursday and Friday, we'll have a lot of live music in studio, which is great. Last bunch of shout-outs for Monday Munchies, nominating everybody at Rockwell Engineering, everybody at Lighthouse, the Lighthouse Centre in Ballincollig. Good morning from operations and transport staff for the National Seaways down the port of Tivoli, doing great work. And to everybody who is working hard looking after the elderly with Retrofit, doing up houses for the elderly and vulnerable people. Morning to Linda. And everybody at Anew Medical who are listening and great contributors to this here programme. But Claire has picked a winner, and for today, and indeed our first Monday Munchies in association with Luso Ballincollig, there's a big box of chocolatey cake treats going to everybody at Fleming's Pharmacy on the Douglas Road, not just for them, because they are kindly going to share it with their neighbours at Tesco Express, and they will also hand out lovely cakes to the amazing customers at Fleming's Pharmacy as well. So enjoy, guys, and have yourselves a great Monday with some lovely treats. Now, €300 every single day. I want you to get thinking about your sneaky, snaky friend, courtesy of ourselves and indeed the good people at Carryout. the off-licences, we have €300 cash to give away every single day. So with St. Patrick banishing the snakes out of Ireland, we thought it might be interesting to get snaky friend stories. And just to get the ball rolling, I got Mags, who's got a friend called Terry. Does Terry know now that you're shopping her this morning, Mags? Does she know?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, okay. Well, why do you want to reveal why she's such a snaky friend?
Well, you see, she can open like one of our Snapchats, but we have two group chats, and she's the worst person ever to onto. So she'll open one, she'll read it, and she'll ignore you for about an hour later, and then she'll open it, she'll ignore you.
Wait a second now, how many group chats do you have? Two. Why have you two?
Well, one, there's about six of us in, or seven, and then the other is just three of us.
So there's, how do the other four who are not in the second one feel about being left out of that group? That's, I think you're the one that's snaky, Mags. I think you're snaky.
No.
No, I do, like, you're why are you precluding some friends from a group that you and Terry are allowed into? That's snaky.
Well, you see, like, it's a long story, you know, like, the three of us have been friends for 13 years and then the other four just kind of showed up.
They're kind of second-class citizens in my book.
Yeah.
Why would I want to give a snake like you €300 cash, precluding your friends? Never mind the fact that Terry Byrne... I'm notorious for that, for not responding to texts. Does that make me snaky as well?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Do you know what I say? I'll get back to that now in a few minutes' time. There's a way now of reading messages, isn't there, without it known that you've read the message, isn't there?
Yeah, you half swipe it.
You what?
You half swipe the message.
It's way over my head. It's way over my pay grade. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I think maybe if I give you the prize, you got to keep 150, but you got to give 150 to Terry as well, because I think the two of you are snakes.
Well, that's what she said. If I do win it, I have to give her half the money.
What are you going to spend it on?
I told her we can get clothes off Sheen.
Well, whatever you spend it on, enjoy it. And please, invite your other pals in. Don't be so snaky. Let them into the party, will you?
Well, they're just about listening to the radio now, so, you know, I did tell them about this.
All right, well, you started the week off. There's €300 cash in it for you. You can spend it whatever you want. So enjoy ahead of the long weekend and the St. Patrick's weekend. You'll put it to good use. Have a good day today, Mags. Look after yourself. Cheers. You snake.
Perfect. Thanks, mate.
It's the only time, actually, this week when I get to call people names, which is great fun in itself, as courtesy of ourselves and carry out off-license. If there's a snake in your life, somebody that's snaky, tell us all about it. Text 0868104106. Have a good day. Well done, Killian. See you tomorrow.
When Cork talks,
Cork people blow my mind.
They talk to Neil Prendeville
on Red FM.